The Morning Invasion with Dax, Steve-O, and Teo on Star 88.
Today is
Wednesday.
Ready to master control?
Ready, switch on.
Sir, time to rise.
It's like the most hilarious show ever.
Hilarious, unintentional.
This is where we do our morning show.
In the darkest depths of the Forbidden Zone.
Guess what the day is?
Hump day.
Yeehaw! Who doesn't get excited about Wednesday?
This place is no picnic.
Get ready for the craziest radio show on the dial.
The best morning radio team.
I like a little bit of crazy. You're gonna make me crazy too.
It's showtime.
Hello, everyone. Hello. Hello.
Woo!
Hello, Mom.
Your mom's listening?
Oh, yeah, man. She podcasts us every day.
Oh.
She has an hour drive to Costco.
Costco's an hour away?
From, where I grew up. So she has to make the trip almost every day to Costco, and she podcasts us. She's like, you guys are the funniest show in the world. Thanks, Mom. Thanks. I love you.
My mom got so mad with that tag that says, rated best morning show by 2 out of 3 of their moms. She was like, which mom doesn't like it? Because I love it. I mean, it was a joke, Mom. I think all of our moms like it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I love about Mom, is that she'll make you feel like you are the greatest person alive.
She really will.
And that's what it's all about right there.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey.
It's Wednesday, February 17th at 6:07.
High today of 74 degrees.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
That is good news.
You know, just that's how I do. Just helping people out. Currently helping out Susie, who wanted to know what song was playing last night, you know. Check out the recently played list or the app, or I'm actually doing it now.
So if you go to star88.fm, there's an actual listen what played or what's
yeah called? Last 24 hours you can check out the recently played list.
Yeah,
it shows the last 24 hours of songs, what time they played, and that's also up at our app. It's absolutely free. So yeah,
that is good news.
You know,
good news. I want to kick off the show this morning with this story about a guy in Spain.
España.
Joaquin Garcia is 69 years old. Works at a waste treatment plant in Spain.
Mm.
And a little over 6 years ago, he became a supervisor. Well, that's just great.
Yeah.
Joaquin, moving up the ladder. But he quickly realized that his job didn't really require him to do much of anything. So he just decided to stop showing up at work. Straight up didn't go to work.
You know, I had to do that on Monday. Wasn't feeling well. Realized that we have had so much incredible radio that we could put in a best of.
Sure.
It was magical. Yep. People loved it.
Yep. People even thought we were here live. Some of you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he just didn't come back to work. And he kept getting paid.
Oh.
He managed to get away with skipping work, but still collecting a paycheck for 3 weeks? No, not 3 weeks.
6 weeks.
No. A little bit longer.
8 months.
A little bit longer.
Really?
Yep.
2 years.
A little bit longer.
Longer than 2 years?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
4 years.
A little bit longer.
No! Are you serious?
A little bit longer. Yeah. He's collecting those checks, man.
5 years.
A little bit longer.
Oh, my gosh!
Just a little bit. Collecting those checks. I'm collecting those checks.
5 years and 3 months.
6 years!
Oh my gosh!
6 years, Joaquin! 6 years! You were collecting checks! He realized, I don't need to be here.
Oh, man.
Nobody really knows that I'm here anyways, so I might as well just go home and collect my check.
He didn't have to check anything or do anything?
No, he just... Job didn't really require him to do anything. He was
a
supervisor.
Gosh.
He had to supervise people. Well, here is how he got busted. His 20th anniversary was coming up there at work, and the company decided, oh, we got to throw him a party. This guy's been here 20 years. Obviously, they didn't realize Joaquin hadn't been there. You know, it's probably one of those things that popped up on the computer that said, oh, 20th anniversary, this guy's going to be HR, probably saw it. And they're like, oh, we got to do a party.
We got to do something.
Yeah, well, when he didn't show up to celebrate, that's when they figured that, well, he hasn't been here. They started investigating and looked into it, and sure enough, hadn't been to work in 6 years. He got a $30,000 fine, which was the equivalent of 1 year's salary. So it looks
like he got
a pretty good deal.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was totally worthwhile. $30,000 fine.
That's crazy, man.
6 years.
España. Dude. I don't know if I want to like get mad or applaud him. You know, it's like, that is so messed up, bro. 6 years.
Yeah, that's
wow.
That I would think here in America, you would have to probably pay back all of it, even probably go to jail.
Yeah,
you might go to jail.
I feel like that's thievery.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like stealing because it's totally like stealing. It's stealing.
It's stealing.
Yeah.
I mean, you weren't working for the money.
Yeah. You weren't doing any... Yeah, no, he was definitely illegal.
Wonder if he had another job, or did he just hang out for 6 years?
Gosh.
I mean,
what would you do? What would you do for 6 years?
Oh, gosh.
You have 6 years, man.
Oof.
You know what I would do first? I would learn how to stop my dog from eating through everything. That's what I would do with my 6 years.
Yeah?
I woke up this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, no.
And you know my couch, how it's like U-shaped? You know, and it's like the far left is kind of like, oh, that's Rocket's area. It's like the whatever it's called, where you can lounge, you can lay out.
Yeah, there's the love.
Whatever.
Is it the love seat section? I don't know.
Not only was that disconnected from the rest of the couch, it was moved over by the stairs and chewed through.
No!
He chewed entirely through my couch.
Rocket Raccoon.
Entirely. Like, I was so mad and impressed because he chewed entirely through it. Like, there was just cushion everywhere, and he's completely destroyed my couch.
That is not cool.
I know. What do you do about that? He's a big puppy.
I think you got to put him in a crate.
Never, ever, 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 ever had this problem with a puppy before.
Get him a crate.
Like, sure, they chew things, but not like, hey, I ate through your couch.
Ugh.
Yeah.
You'd probably take him to doggy training school or something.
To go, hey, not on the couch. Chew through your stuff. Not on the couch!
Maybe you need to watch some Dog Whisperer.
Maybe. I was Googling it early this morning, getting puppies to stop chewing things.
I think that's probably the best bet, is probably to start putting them in a little doggy pen.
They'll just cry.
Yeah, but just for a little bit.
They'll cry.
And what I found out is that dogs actually love to have their own little area where they can sleep.
That's what my thing is. I'm wondering if he thinks that's his area. Because
totally.
He can like totally lay on that part of the couch.
Yeah, and if you guys are not there,
or chew through
he's going to go to town.
Yeah.
He probably just misses Vader.
Yeah, that's probably it. I blame Vader. I blame your dog. It's your dog's fault. Got him all riled up like he was going to have friends or something. And then... And then he's like, I got no friends, but I got you, couch.
That's funny.
Gosh, dude.
Yeah, that's the worst. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That's
if
good.
I had 6 years because I wasn't working, I would take my dog to training school. I would do all kinds of stuff.
Well, I got a little taste of what it's like to get paid and not have to work. Because when I got fired from iHeartRadio, they paid Buck and I for 6 months. It was a non-compete. We couldn't do any sort of radio and... But
was it comparable? It was like, hey, we're going to fire you, but we're still going to pay you the normal
wage. No, I
got
the normal wage.
Are you serious?
I got paid every 2 weeks.
Oh, man.
What
I
normally
made. That here?
It was amazing. It was really nice. It really was. It was really cool.
Until month 5 and a half when you're like, what am I going to do?
Know. Seriously. Oh, boy. I only have one paycheck left.
Oh
no. And I haven't saved anything. What am I going to do? But it was really cool because not only did I get to really spend a lot of time with the family, which can be nice, but also can be very draining.
Yeah.
I got to just kind of do what I wanted to do and just
did you, like,
hang out.
Get any new hobbies?
No.
Nothing?
I can't. That's the thing with me. I cannot find a stinking hobby to save my life.
CrossFit. CrossFit, bro.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to train my mind into
liking it.
Yeah. Yeah, I really am.
I love it. I was stoked. I'm not gonna lie. I was the Oreo sandwich in between your wife and Tam yesterday. We're like up against the wall doing the medicine ball thing. I'm like, yeah, push, bro, go, woo, three more, dog.
It was hell yesterday.
Yeah, it was seriously the worst. The hardest day we've had. I loved every second of it, though. I felt like a champion afterwards.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
So there you go. See, that's our new hobby.
It is.
We got a hobby
together.
I'm a CrossFitter.
I'm a CrossFitter now.
It's weird. I watched the CrossFit Games this last weekend, okay? On ESPN. I'm not even joking.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, why am I watching this? These like giant like specimens of men. And they're like lifting cars and like going 12 feet and just dropping it. And I'm like, I don't even know what's happening right now. CrossFit Games are happening.
We've
and
been brainwashed.
I'm watching them.
What is wrong with
they
us?
They all look like Tommy, the owner of Desert Forge. Yeah! Get it, dog!
That's not what he does.
That's not what he does at all. But he looks like he can bench press my house.
Well, he could.
You know what I mean?
He could. Most of the people in that gym could do that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But they're the nicest people in the world.
I like to pretend like I'm an actual member of the WWE, and this is our pre-show workout. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm like the skinny guy, but I'm like hilarious. I'm a great character. Oh! Got to come up with a name. It's amazing. Oh, man.
My back kind of hurts this morning.
That's because we were doing those crazy squat things.
Yeah, we weren't doing them right, apparently.
No, not at all.
So my back is killing me right now.
Mumford kept having to fix me.
Mumford?
Morgan, dude.
He looks like
Mumford? He looks just like Marcus Mumford. So every time I'm like, hey, Mumford.
I'm going to have to Google a picture of what he looks like because I've never seen what Mumford and Son looks like.
Next time Steven's around, we got to make him go to the gym. Because yesterday, none of us picked the playlist.
Yeah, what was up
with
that?
But like 50% of the songs were Amberlynn yesterday. So I'd be like, yeah, wait, what? Why Amberlynn? Why am I working out to Steven?
I was thinking the whole time, it would be amazing if Steven was here.
Yeah.
And his band is just playing every other song.
It was like Amberlynn Spotify. I'm seeing like it was the
weirdest. And that's the thing.
Playlist.
I don't think they meant to do that.
No.
I don't know what band he picked, but I think it just happened to be Amberlynn.
It totally fit.
Yeah.
It was great. Just, it was a good playlist.
It was a great
yesterday.
Playlist.
Yeah.
So, I like that Morgan guy.
he's a good dude.
His
wife Renee, she's very helpful.
Oh goodness!
I'm not gonna lie. I tend to stick close to the wives because I'll copy their workout. Yeah, no, girl, I got this. Yeah, I'm doing this one.
And Tam showed up yesterday.
Yes, she did.
She showed up like 20 minutes late, but it's okay. At least she showed up.
She texted me and said, "I'm running really late. Do you think it's cool?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm not even there yet. Yeah, totally. Just come late. I've been here for 20 minutes. I lied to you. I'm sorry, but I just wanted you to not show."
That's good.
Yeah.
338-3700. That's the phone number. If you'd like to call us, you can also hit us up at studio@star88.fm. If you have questions for Shock Therapy Live, which is not happening today.
I was going to say, it's just us.
Just going to be us. Tomorrow we have Think About It Thursday with Brian Nixon.
Heck yeah.
And if you guys have questions about anything theological or something about the Bible or something happening in life, you guys... hit us up. Shoot those emails through the week so we can answer your questions on Thursdays at 9.
We got a really good one overnight, so I'm pretty excited for Theology Thursday.
Good.
So, yeah, dude.
Good. And this morning, we got a big show planned for you guys. Joey Belleville will be in on the show.
Woo!
One of the funniest people ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited. 7 o'clock, Joey will be in.
Heck yeah.
And we're going to talk about Apple hacking... a terrorist phone?
Brodus and I used to work at Apple together, actually. So this is a really interesting story. Federal government trying to step in to hack terrorism, and Apple's shutting it down. We'll see what happens. It's going to be
really
interesting,
curious,
dude.
Why they want to shut it down. Why wouldn't you want, Apple, why wouldn't you want to hack into a terrorist phone?
Yeah, what's up, Apple? It's because they're the secret organization. They're that's it. That must be it. No, I don't know.
No.
We'll talk about it coming up. It's an interesting story. What do you do?
I don't know.
You want to stop terrorism, right?
Apparently Apple doesn't.
But what if by stopping terrorism, you're actually kickstarting cyber terrorism?
Mm.
Oh, I saw that Die Hard movie with that one dude, Timothy Olyphant.
8 o'clock, we're going to talk about Ronda Rousey because I don't know if you guys saw the video. She was on Ellen the other day, and she opened up and talked about how she felt after she lost.
Yeah.
And she even admitted that she felt suicidal.
Yeah.
Broke down. And it was a really crazy video because somebody like Ronda Rousey, she's at the top. And she breaks down and admits in front of everybody that she wanted to kill herself.
Yeah.
After she lost, because she felt like she didn't know who she was anymore. It's crazy. We'll play the audio of that interview on Ellen, and we want to get your thoughts on it too. Because Holly Holm, they interviewed Holly Holm yesterday, and she actually commented on the video.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to hear that because there were so many people that posted that story on Facebook yesterday, and like 50% of them, I wanted to go find and fight to the doom.
Really?
Because they were just saying nasty things about Rhonda still, and it was like, oh, bro. Come on, man.
Yeah.
I think we have forgotten about humanity,
mm-hmm.
like how to be decent human beings because of social media.
Yeah.
So definitely excited to talk about that.
And then 9 a.m., we're going to talk about this guy who was arrested by U.S. Marshals for not paying a student loan from 1987.
Look, I said I'd pay it back. Get off my back! 1987. I was like six.
So we'll talk about that. And there was a survey that came out, asked about 500 people, you know, that had around 30,000 or more in student loans. What extreme things they do to get rid of them?
Wow. Okay.
So
you can't get rid of them. File for bankruptcy? Doesn't matter. You still have your student loans.
Yeah.
You can't. I want to hear this.
Yeah, I'll...
still got a few of those. I'm just kidding.
One person said they'd get punched in the face by Mike Tyson if, you know, they could wipe away all the student loan debt.
Also, all of their memories because they'd be brain dead.
Seriously.
Just want to wipe away my debt and all of my memories in life. Punch me in the face, please.
338-3700. That is the phone number this morning. Oh, we got to do the six things your boss notices about you.
Ooh.
We didn't get to that yesterday.
Our boss notices our podcast.
Yeah, he does.
Shout out to Chip. He listens to us.
Today is Champion Crab Races Day.
What?
And it's also My Way Day.
All right.
My Way.
Or the Highway?
My Way Day.
Thanks, Limp Bizkit.
My Way Day. Good morning, everyone. We're going to take a quick break. It's the Morning Invasion.
For the Morning Invasion, here's Dex, Steve-O, and Teo on Star 88.
I may have some news for you.
Big news.
Stand by.
Republicans running for president keep crisscrossing South Carolina. Marco Rubio's out taking shots at Democrats.
They're smarter than you, and they've got to be able to protect you from yourself.
Calling Ted Cruz a liar.
When anyone points to their actual records, they get very upset and begin screaming, liar, liar, liar.
Hillary Clinton speaking at a forum in New York City at the Schoenberg Center for Research in Black Culture.
We can build ladders of opportunity.
The FDA telling blood banks not to accept donations from people who have traveled to countries where the Zika virus is active.
A U.S. military court convenes at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba to hear pretrial arguments in the case of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
A former supervisor for energy company BP goes on trial in New Orleans.
Pope Francis celebrating Mass, the heart of Mexico's drug trafficking country.
President Obama meeting with Asian leaders in California.
To encourage the entrepreneurship and innovation that are at the heart of modern competitive economies.
Shout out to Serenity and her mom.
Yeah!
Thanks for listening, guys.
Heck yeah.
Good morning on this Wednesday. Champion Crab Races Day. 6:34. Good morning.
High today of 74 degrees.
Come on.
Woo!
You're joking.
Beautiful I wore a day. T-shirt today, guys.
505. Gonna be a beautiful.
Tiny little hoodie and a t-shirt today. 74 degrees.
Big show today, everybody. Big show. Of course, if you are listening now and you can't catch the whole show, where can they go, Steve-O?
Star88.fm. You can podcast us straight from there, but I always recommend subscribing. Not the iTunes place, you know.
I hear you, man.
You can subscribe. It's free. And it'll download the show every day to your mobile device.
It's right there, just waiting for you. Just waiting for you to click. Here's what I do. Whenever I podcast, I like to listen to podcasts in the shower.
Okay. You listen to me in the shower?
Yep. When I'm driving.
Hold on just a sec. Hey, Dex. You're in the shower right now.
Hey, man.
When I'm talking to you, Dex. Mm-hmm. Guy in the shower. How's that shower?
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's a good shower.
You're not supposed to answer back. Oh, it gets weirder.
Yeah.
When you're driving?
When I'm driving, okay. I like to listen to podcasts. You know?
Both hands on the wheel, Dex.
Yep.
You're driving right now. Both hands on the wheel.
And the great thing about a podcast is you can just hit pause.
Yeah.
And then you can come back and listen to it later. Yeah. I don't know. Do you listen to other podcasts?
I really don't.
All right. Well, that's it. Want to subscribe to the Morning Invasion at least?
I actually already did. It's pretty easy. Like straight on my phone, I went to the app store right here, or not the app store. Sorry, the little music place right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just subscribe to the podcast. It's in the iTunes store, so it's really easy.
Super easy.
If you're on Android, well, I'm sorry, you can totally still get the podcast. Mm-hmm. There's multiple ways. So
just search Morning Invasion. You can also go to star88.fm.
Yeah,
and go to our page, and it's right there on the computer. Do you like to fly?
My mom and dad are pilots. My dad was a pilot. Mm. My mom is a pilot. I'm 50-50.
Did you ever want to learn how to fly since your parents, you know, they're pilots?
My mom one time flew me to school.
Really?
I lived in Las Vegas, New Mexico, and went to school down in Roswell at NIMI, the military school down there. And one, you know, summer leading into school, my mom actually flew me to school.
How cool is that?
For that semester, yeah, for my sophomore
year. How far away was that?
A couple hours, oh, wow. You know. But, I mean, but it was a little two-seater, you know, me and my mom in this tiny little plane. It was like,
that's so much
this
fun.
This is great!
Yeah.
I hope we don't die, because it's so fun!
When I was a little kid, I got to go up. We had a friend who owned a couple planes, and he had a Super Cub.
Okay.
And it was a two-seater.
Yeah.
And my brother and I were small enough to where we could fit in the back seat.
Right, yeah.
So he took us up, and man, it was the funnest I've ever had.
I'm glad you enjoyed that.
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was so cool.
So because, I don't know, because that I'm whatever. Yeah.
Well, I want to try to save some lives out there because you never know. Somebody might be listening right now.
Yeah.
That they're going to end up on a 737 plane and maybe the pilot disappears.
Yeah.
Maybe something happens to the pilot and you need to know how to land or fly a 737 plane.
Like our girl Nomi who just chimed in listening to us right now in Dubai.
What?
Yeah. I mean, you never know. Yeah.
You
never
know. She might be flying back in a 737.
Shout out.
And there's a YouTube video for pretty much anything.
Of
and there is a video on how to land a 737 if both pilots are passed out.
How would you know, though? Like, how would you know that the pilots are passed out?
I don't know. I don't know. But
this is the worst.
I think you should watch this video. And just in case.
Okay.
Just in case.
We should be prepared.
Maybe you're up in the plane. Just remember, you can always pull up YouTube, how to land a 737 plane, and there is step-by-step instructions.
Perfect.
This is a 737-800 with its modernized glass cockpit displays. The first thing you're going to want to do is put on the pilot's headset and find the pilot audio controls. They're on the pedestal to your right.
On the right
at the top is the mic selector group. Right. Make sure that VHF-1 is selected. Otherwise, you could end up merely talking to your passengers.
Okay.
You tune frequencies up here. Chances are whatever frequency is already dialed in here will work fine. Mm-hmm. So just find the push-to-talk button on the yoke and hold it down to speak over the radio.
Try not to scream because you're freaking out.
Mayday, mayday, mayday.
Oh, gosh.
I'm a passenger on board Delta Flight 160.
There's no way. There is no way you'd be that calm. Excuse me. Mayday. Mayday. Yeah. Pilots are passed out, bro. I'm a passenger. I just wandered into the cockpit. They're both out like a light. I got my headset thingy on and found the push to talk. Very calmly, I might add.
Yeah.
Just curious.
No.
How do I fly this thing? Oh, the humanity! We're all gonna die! Yeah.
Well, just remember.
Yeah.
Pull up YouTube.
YouTube.
How to land a 737.
When freaking out because both pilots are passed out, calmly pull out your cell phone and Google how to land a 737.
That's good.
Nomi's actually flying home from Dubai on a 737
that's
today.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Right on.
You never know.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know, I was thinking when you were saying the video about how to land a 737, don't the pilots lock the cockpit door?
See, exactly. Mm. How would you know?
I don't know. I don't know.
You were just hosed at that point.
I don't know.
The only time I can think of a pilot disappearing is the rapture. But I mean, you're going to be too freaked out wondering why people disappeared to try and land a plane. So.
Well, hopefully you'll have disappeared too, my friend.
Is a 737, is that a big plane? Is that a big one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Or no, the AC-130 is bigger. Anyways, they locked the cockpit door, so you wouldn't be able to land it.
That's a great point. I don't know.
That's what I said, like, literally at the very beginning. That's, like, the first thing I said was, how would you know? No one listens.
I was trying to help, you know.
When you're in the shower later listening to us, I want you to think about this moment right now.
And that's one thing. Whenever I'm air checking us, because that's what I do. I like to listen back and see how the show sounds.
Yeah.
I miss out on so much that you and Teo said. And I just laugh because I'm usually just focused on hitting buttons over here or what's the next thing we're going to move to. And so I miss a lot of the things you guys say, and you guys are hilarious.
I think I should start podcasting it too, because I think I'm usually just focused in on the sound of my own voice. So I hear that totally.
Yep. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey. The first song I thought of is Whitney Houston, How Will I Know If the Pilot Is Gone?
Wow.
Yeah, no way, dude. I'm telling you, dude, I'd probably already pee my pants, for one.
Yep.
I wouldn't be able to move. I'd probably be stuck.
Mm-hmm.
That's just weird. That's just giving terrorism an upper hand.
Giving terrorism an upper hand.
All right, I love you guys.
I love you too, pool boy. Amazing. Speaking of giving terrorism an upper hand, I cannot wait for Joey Belleville to come in studio, because coming up, sure seems like Apple's trying to give terrorism an upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
We're going to talk about it at 7.
Yeah. News! Eagles of Death Metal performed in Paris last night for the first time since terrorists killed 89 people at their concert there 3 months ago. Singer Jesse Hughes did a local interview raging against French gun laws.
There it is.
Raging!
Sorry. Gun control kind of doesn't have anything to do with it, but if you want to bring it up, I'll ask you, did your French gun control stop a single person from dying at the Bataclan? And if anyone can answer yes, I'd like to hear it, because I don't think so. I think the only thing that stopped it was some of the bravest men that I've ever seen in my life charging headfirst into the face of death with their firearms. I know people will disagree with me, but it just seems like God made men and women, and that night guns made them equal. And I hate it that it's that way. I think the only way my mind has been changed is maybe that until nobody has guns, everybody has to have them.
Yeah,
because I don't ever want to see anything like this ever happen again.
Oh, man. If you didn't know, most of the world have these really strict gun laws.
Yeah.
Especially over in Europe and over in Paris.
Right.
Where the Eagles of Death Metal were performing. And that was such
a horrific
scene that happened. Yeah. They're playing a concert, and the terrorists come in and just start shooting people.
Right.
And then he sees these brave men running after these guys with guns, tackling them, trying to get the guns away. And he's right. It's like if somebody would have been armed, it could have been a different situation.
Yeah. If guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. That's what my mom used to say when I was a kid. Lifetime member of the NRA, I might add. My mom. My sweet little 5'2 mom.
My mom carries.
Yeah, oh yeah.
She's got a little pink pistol.
See... Oh, dude, my mom has this crazy, like, yeah, I don't want to. She always gets mad. Steven, that's why it's called a concealed carry. You're not supposed to tell people that we're carrying. Sorry, mom. Sorry, little 5'2 mom with a 357 Magnum. No joke. Gosh. But she can shoot that thing, man.
I don't think I've ever met your mom.
She's amazing. She lives in Arizona, where it's warm and wonderful. Paul McCartney couldn't get into Tiga's party after the Grammys. This is unreal. He says he had no idea Paul McCartney got denied entrance to his party, but in the music industry, apparently. You would think that no door should be shut to Paul McCartney. Not only that, he was with Beck and Taylor Hawkins, the drummer for the Foo Fighters. They were all denied access to the party.
Yeah, this is what Tiga said. I think he was on Jimmy Kimmel, and this is him talking about, because Tiga was performing. Yeah. So he had no idea that Paul McCartney and everybody couldn't get in.
Right.
So this is what he had to say.
I had no knowledge. I was like inside performing.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I really wish I would have knew he was outside. I would have went out there with the mic, you know, brought him in, performed actually with me.
I heard the fire marshal was the one that wouldn't allow anyone else to come in.
Yeah, tweet the fire marshal. Don't tweet me.
You'd think fire codes wouldn't apply to Beatles. There's only two of them left, right?
He's like,
I mean, really, the worst case, they both show up.
In the TMZ video, it's pretty amazing to see the look on Paul McCartney's face and Beck's face, because they can't believe it. And we have exclusive audio of Paul McCartney getting denied from Tigger's party.
That's a good one, Paul. Let's go in.
Hold on. We're trying to get in the club. Name, please.
Check it. It's Paul McCartney.
Paul McCarthy.
What? No, McCartney.
McCartney.
Come on.
No. Not here.
It's kind of embarrassing. I was in a group called Beatles.
Beatles. Beatles.
Except you.
Nope.
You know, I was also in a group called Wings.
Wings.
Paul McCartney and Wings.
No.
I wrote Obladee Oblada. Life goes on, bro. I was a walrus. It's been confirmed. Check into walrus.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on. Walrus? No. Sorry, guys. You're not getting in.
All right.
Yeah, try down the street.
Cool. Back in the van. Come on. That's enough of this then.
Goo 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 jube.
Amazing. Amazing.
Paul McCartney, the biggest guy on the planet, gets denied. You know that has never happened in his life.
He had a great quote. His actual quote was, "How VIP do we gotta get? We need another hit, guys. Come on, let's work on it." And he grabbed Beck and Taylor Hawkins from the Foo Fighters, and they left. They went to another party.
Man.
They went to another party that they did not get denied access to. Could you imagine?
No, I couldn't.
Sometimes I wonder if, like, door guys just want to deny people so they can be like, yeah.
Seriously.
Denied Paul McCartney access, bruh.
Yeah, when I was a young lad, my parents owned a body shop up in Montana, and Hank Williams Jr. Lived in Butte, Montana.
Okay.
And he always would call my dad for parts, because I guess he liked to build old classic cars. So he was always calling my dad for parts. And so I was answering the phone. I might have been 9 years old. And my dad was on a record call. My mom was at work. And the phone rings. And it's Hank Williams Jr.
Oh, my gosh.
And
you're like, are you ready for some football?
Here's the funny part about it was, is that, you know, I have to take messages, you know. And I answer the phone, M&B Auto Body. And Hank goes, yeah, I was looking for a blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, my dad isn't here right now. Can I just take a message and I'll have him call you back? He's like, this is Hank Williams Jr. Okay. Hank Williams Jr. He's like, yeah, you know the country music singer, right? No joke. He said, you know the country music singer? And I said, no. Sorry. I don't really like country music, sir.
No way!
And he just paused, and I'll never forget, he kind of chuckled a little bit, and he's like, well, just have your dad call me back. I had no idea who he was. So then my dad gets back, you know, I tell my dad, and he's like, you know who that is, right? And I was, no. You know the Monday Night Football guy? Are you ready for some football? And I'm like, are you serious?
Oh, why didn't he say Monday Night Football guy? Dude, good old Montana.
Good old Montana.
Speaking of Montana, cops in Great Falls, Montana, got a 911 call on Sunday night from someone who was really, really, really worried about their neighbors. They heard screams coming from the house, something about someone having a gun, so 7 cops rushed over, surrounded the place, then they heard, quote, loud talking as they walked up, but when they got inside, they found out what was really going on. The family was watching the mid-season premiere of The Walking Dead. Yeah, dude. A few windows were open, so the sound carried over to the neighbors. Both parents and all the kids were totally fine, except for the fact all of the kids were watching The Walking Dead. So how fine are they really? Are you kidding me? It's like just a Sunday night here in Montana. We're just going to watch some Walking Dead. Oh, my gosh. My kids are always like, when can we watch, you know, Daredevil? Or when can we watch, you know, these random, like grown-up shows? And I'm like, I don't know, when you're 30? When you can shave and you have a job in your own place and you can just buy these old, ancient TV shows that aren't going to matter anymore? No!
Steve is looking right at me.
I'm staring at you in the
face. Right into my soul. And
The Walking Dead is so gnarly!
I only let my 14-year-old son watch it.
Yeah, see, I don't have a 14-year-old, so I can't say, you know.
I don't know.
But you realize now, because of you, jerk, that my 12-year-old's going to be like, but Caleb gets to watch it.
I shouldn't have said that.
That's because Dex doesn't love his kids, okay? I love you. I'm just kidding.
I'm a horrible parent.
You're not a horrible parent.
Maybe you're probably right.
14,
they probably shouldn't be watching it.
Parents know their kids better than anyone in the world. You know what I mean? I just know, Jack especially, no. There's no way. The Walking Dead!
Poor little Jack. Oh. He'd be so scared.
He'd be terrified. I was like thinking about even just like some of the Marvel movies. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, no. There's rules, brah. Mm. Well, I say there's rules, but I think Jack of mine, because he's the oldest, had the most strict rules. It was like, until this certain age, he wasn't watching this and this and this and this and this. But as the kids progress, Brody's 3 years old, and he hangs out on the couch with his 10 and 12-year-old brother watching, you know, we watch Winter Soldier on Monday.
Same with Landon. It was the same with us. You know, Caleb, being the oldest, always got to do things first, but also, it wasn't really fair for my oldest son because the younger ones would get to do things before he was able to.
Right.
So he was always throwing it back in our face. I had to wait till I was 11 years old.
Yep. That's what's probably happening with Brody right now. He wants to be Falcon, Captain America's best friend. He flies everywhere now. So think of ruined him.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dex and Steve-O and Kale, wherever you're at.
He's on tour right now with House of Heroes.
Miss
just
that
playing that bass guitar.
Yeah, but we miss you, Tail.
I love you. I miss you.
Oh, I miss Tail, too. I love his accent. I'm the one that wrote about his accent.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was me. That was me.
He's
anyway, so I love you guys.
That's
hilarious.
Thank you.
And also, about the zombie thing, I just wanted to let you know, I have been into zombies since I was like 7 years old.
They're called walkers.
Okay, walkers.
I prefer the term roamers.
I've been into walkers since I was 7 years old. I love zombie movies, and my parents used to let me stay up and watch them on the weekend, and I can't talk just fine, Steve-O.
Okay, that's cool.
All right,
each his own, you know?
Yeah.
No, I grew up, my mom, for some reason it was like, this was the Baptist thing. I'm going to put it on Baptists. Like anything sensual, sexual was that was absolutely forbidden. But my mom would also take me to like Boys in the Hood. I saw Boys in the Hood in the theater when I was a kid. I also saw Aliens and Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, you know, I love scary movies. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've been into them. There's nothing wrong with letting your child see it. I mean, just, if they get scared, you just got to be there to comfort them.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much. We love you.
Love you too, guys. Bye.
All right. Bye.
A lot of bad parents out there,
yeah,
including me.
Speaking of, here's some good movie news for kids. The first trailer for Pee-wee's Big Holiday is out!
Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it yet!
It looks actually really good.
I had no idea they were working on it. Last night, the House of Heroes guys, they're actually traveling east towards Texas, so they stopped by the house last night. And they were talking about it. And I don't know how we didn't end up watching it.
I was a huge Pee-wee fan.
Dude! Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Big Top Pee-wee, Pee-wee's Playhouse, Yes Please, all of it.
I used to.
Loved Pee-wee.
When I had a squeaky voice when I was younger, I used to be able to do Pee-wee's voice.
Oh,
and wherever
man.
I went, people, all my family members were like, will you please do the Pee-wee voice? And they'd be like, ha, 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 I can't do it anymore.
Dude, Steve Ryman.
Really? You can do it?
Steve Ryman still can do, yes, Pee-wee Herman. That's cool. Fantastic!
That's good.
I am sad, though, because obviously Phil Hartman was a part of Pee-wee's Playhouse. You know,
I forgot about that.
He was the mailman. He was a few different things. But anyways, speaking of childhood movies that you loved, apparently there's a trailer for Kindergarten Cop 2 that came out as well.
I didn't watch that one this morning.
Stars Dolph Lundgren instead of Arnold Schwarzenegger, and apparently it looks terrible. I'm very sad for this.
No.
Dolph Lundgren! Dude, Universal Soldier? Speaking of movies I could watch when I was a kid, Universal Soldier? Yeah. I love you, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
When we come back, hopefully Joey Belleville will be here.
I hope so.
He'll be joining us.
I believe in him.
He's so funny. And we're going to talk about Apple and terrorists.
Yeah, dude.
I'm going to get your guys' opinions. You guys weigh in on what we're going to talk about coming up. Also, 8 o'clock, we're going to talk Ronda Rousey. Video came out. She talks about how she felt suicidal after getting knocked out by Holly Holm. It's the Morning Invasion. Hang out with us.
The Morning Invasion with Dex.
I hear you focused on what God wants. You know, that's what I hear with your heart, which is amazing. I think that's how we should live as Christians.
Steve-O.
There's something that's peddled around that, like, money is the root of all evil. And it is not the root. It is a root of all kinds of evil, because when it becomes idolatrous, when money is your master and that's all you serve, then I absolutely...
And Teo.
When I moved out here, it was crazy for me. I came from a place like Nashville. Everybody has a side job because they're all in a band. Everybody.
The Morning Invasion with Dex, Steve-O, and Teo.
1, 2, 3,
I guess I gotta turn the mics on.
I'm like, hello, I heard you.
Hello, Dex and Steve-O.
Sup?
707.
High today of 74 degrees. It is beautiful.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. Thanks for joining us this morning. Hope you're having a good day. If you're not, hang in there. Hopefully it'll get better for you.
Mostly sunny today. Come on. I mean, gonna have some beautiful weather. Today's my mom's birthday. What's there not to like about Wednesday?
We definitely have to call your mom.
You know, I do this every year. I plan on it, and I think
forget?
The last couple years, I forgot to call my mom.
Oh, come on, man.
I mean, not off the air, but like on the air. It's like, I'm going to call her during the show. It's going to be great. Right. And then, forget.
Joey Belleville will be here shortly.
Yes, dude.
We'll talk about Apple and terrorists.
Apple and terrorism. You know.
You know, it.
These go hand in hand, man.
Same thing, right?
No, not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit.
Joey and I both used to work for Apple, so.
Yeah, that's why you guys will be able to talk about this.
Yeah.
In depth.
It's going to be very, very interesting. Federal court ruled that Apple has to help intervene to fight Al-Qaeda. And Apple's taking a stand. It's going to be an interesting conversation today.
That's coming up here in just a little bit, but first...
Who likes good news?
Yeah!
Good news, everyone!
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 The good news is, start breeding.
There's an 86-year-old woman named Tenny Davidson. She lives alone, just outside of Vancouver, Canada. And for the last 9 years, she stood at her front window every morning, waving to kids on their way to school.
Oh.
Apparently, they love her for it, because about 2 years ago, they organized an assembly to thank her for being a huge part of the community. And what they did last week was even better. A bunch of them got to school early on Friday, then walked to her house, and when she opened her door, more than 70 kids were standing on her lawn with Valentines.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they made little red hearts and used wire hangers to stick them in her lawn. Then they all lined up to hug her and gave her a bunch of presents and thank you notes. She told the local news that they've added a lot of joy to her life over the years.
I think it's now everyone does it out of habit. It's weird not to.
You can see that she's a very kind-hearted person and she gets a lot of joy out of it.
She's still waving and she's still so happy and our kids wave to her every day. She's become a really important of our larger school community.
Hello! You're making me cry!
happy now. I love it. I just love it. I am just overwhelmed.
I had no idea. It was just a shock. I'm in shock. It's just wonderful. I just can't express my love for these kids.
Would you mind stepping over here into my oven?
Oh my gosh!
That's all I can think
of.
No! I'm sorry, that's all I can think
about. What is wrong with you?
I'm
really?
Sorry.
She seems so sweet. I was like getting teary-eyed, and now I just want to deck you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, man. I'm like, don't cry, don't cry. Don't cry, don't cry, sweet old lady. Man.
That's really cool. And just think about it.
Well, it was.
All she did was just wave to the kids. And that put a smile on their faces.
It goes to show, like, tiny little acts of kindness. Things you don't even think about. Something as simple as a smile. Smile at somebody. You're walking down, you know, like Knob Hill or wherever, walking down the street. You smile at somebody walking by you.
Yeah.
You never know how that might brighten their day.
Never know. You never know. And this poor 86-year-old woman who's all alone.
Why
that's
she poor?
What she lived for. She lived for waking up and waving to those kids.
Yeah.
Even when they never waved back, she still got up the next day and she waved back. And then she got up the next day and she waved back. And then she kept doing that for 30 years.
That's crazy.
Please, Lord, I don't want to live to be that old.
What? She's only Please. In her 70s. I do.
Please. She's 86.
She's 80. She's only 86. I do.
Oh, man. I mean, that's your highlight of the day is seeing a school bus full of kids drive by so she can wave at them.
How do you know that's the highlight
Please,
of her
Lord.
Day? What about Price is Right? Oh. She's got her stories that she's got it. You
Wheel
know what
the
I mean?
Fortune like, at six.
Come on. Hey, I rock Wheel of Fortune.
I do too.
My kids love Wheel of Fortune.
So fun.
So great.
So a little Jeopardy.
Yeah, Jeopardy. I totally suck at that.
Mm.
My kids and I, it's like an accomplishment if all of us collectively can get like two. We're like, oh, I knew it.
Inside Edition at 3:30. Dr. Phil at 3.
See,
come
look,
on.
You are already living like an 86-year-old woman.
No,
so.
I know.
I'm just saying.
I just hope the power goes out all around the world someday.
What?
That's what I want.
I wouldn't want that if I was old. Come on. Here's the deal, bro. We're not getting older. We're getting better. And we're doing CrossFit. And so, like, our bodies are going to thank us because we're going to be like those really old people that still have our wits about us. Come on.
Nope.
Maybe bugging you. Hey, nope. Just go to the gym. Just hit it hard today. I don't know why I got an accent in my old age. Stay away from me, Lucky Charms.
Hey, you little kids, I'm over here.
Yeah, see, Hello? Come on. It's going to be great. No. We're going to love being old.
65 is when I want to go.
Oh, my gosh. That's only like 10 years for you.
What? I'm 36. That's funny.
That means
That's
you have less.
Years away.
That you have less than a half a life left.
That's
bro.
Fine.
That's terrible. No,
I'm ready to go home and be with the Lord.
I want to live.
No,
come on. Let's live. Let's make a promise today that we're never going to die. Right here. Come on.
Woo!
Never die on three.
No.
Come on.
Not putting my hand in the middle. I'm not doing it. You know. That's
it's
the thing.
Sneak up on you, man. Before you know it. You know, you're going to be 65 and you're going to be like, why did I say that?
No.
I want to live to be 100 now.
It's very true, though. It is true. As I get older and death is knocking at the door.
Looming. I think it depends on quality of life, too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Maybe I just need a hobby.
Yeah. That's literally all you need. You're way too young to already be talking about, like, when you want to die.
I know. Seriously.
And then you're like, man, my son really struggles with death. I'm like, I don't know why. Between all the Walking Dead you watch and your conversations about wanting to die soon.
And his father wanting to go
gosh,
home to be with God.
This is the worst.
I wonder why.
Listen, kid, I love you, but I really just want to go home and be dead. Just want to die and be with God. You know what the funny thing is? I wonder how often we actually do that. Because my mom was very much that way. It was like she was fully prepared. Lord could take me at any time. I'm just ready, you know? And not to say we shouldn't be prepared, because we should be prepared. We should be ready. We should have a confidence and a blessed assurance, if you will, of where we're going to be when we die. But I think to constantly be like championing it is like,
death.
Oh, yeah.
Death.
Yeah.
Death.
Dude, I just want to be dead. just want the Lord to come back, or I just want to, you know, I just want to be gone. You know, it's like, man, what about all the people who don't have that joy or that hope yet? Come on, let's go share some laughter and joy.
You're right. You're right.
Gosh, you're such a jerk.
Good morning. I am.
Hi.
Darn it.
Hi. How you doing? It's Susan.
Hey, Susan.
What's going on? How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good, man. You know?
Feeling a little down right
just
now.
Just chilling, yeah. He's
yeah,
a little upset.
I'm having a really bad morning, too.
Oh, no. What's going on, Susan?
It hasn't been a really good start. It's just been a series of unfortunate events, actually.
Okay.
But do tell.
Yeah. Well, listen, I went through the drive-thru to get myself a delicious breakfast. Had my eye on one of those delicious piping hot sandwiches. You know, the one with the egg and the cheese and the little sausage and all that sort of stuff.
Love that one.
Took a bite, and the thing sprung right out of the roll, landed on my leg, scalded my leg. I've got a scald mark in the shape of a sausage patty. I've got cheese down the front of my shirt. I reached for the napkins. Knocked a cup of hot coffee all over the other leg.
Oh, no.
I look like a breakfast buffet. I look like a breakfast buffet.
Oh,
that's awful.
Susan.
It's just, I don't really like mornings anyway, and it's really gotten the best of me.
Yeah.
You ready to go home to be with the Lord,
too? No!
What?
We're not dying today. We will live. Am I right, Susan?
I believe that could be true. I believe that someday I'm going to have a great morning, but obviously not today.
Well, dude, I love you, bro.
Not yesterday. Not the day before. One day.
You have a crazy accent there, Susan. It's shining through.
Where are you from,
I believe,
Susan?
Australia.
Yeah?
I'm from Santa Barbara.
Oh, Santa Barbara.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I know you can make fun of it. I've got a girl's name and I'm a man. And it's what my parents gave me. I can't really help it.
Yeah, well, at least you stuck with that name, Susan.
I really like it.
I do too.
It's a good name,
Susan. Can I request a song?
Yeah, sure, Susan.
All right, I want that one that goes, beep, boop, bop, boop, ha, ha, ha.
We'll get that on for
really
you next.
I don't know the name of it. I don't pay attention to that stuff, but I know it goes. Beep, boop, boop, bop, bop, ah,
ah. Yep, we got that one for you coming up next, Susan.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay. You have a great day.
I love
you too.
I don't want to talk anymore. I'm already over this.
Dude, I love you, Susan. I love you.
Goodbye.
Love you. Bye.
See you later.
His accent was just blaring through. I love that man.
Oh, my goodness. That's good stuff.
That's a good dude right there. That's a good dude right there.
When we come back, is Joey here?
No.
If he's not, we can stay on. I didn't know if he was here. Then we can stay on. We still got a little bit of time here. Since we're talking about random acts of kindness, I guess this week happens to be Random Acts of Kindness Week.
Oh, okay.
Just happens to be this week.
All
Should
right.
be every day, right?
Yeah, but if it's, why are we talking about it if it's supposed to be random? It's not random if we're talking about it. This
That's
is scheduled.
True.
You actually scheduled this. This is a scheduled act of kindness. It doesn't count.
It doesn't really count. But there was a survey. 83% of us perform a random act of kindness every week. 83% of us. That's pretty good. That's not bad. 65% said they do it every day, which seems really high. 56% of the people in the survey said they do random acts of kindness because it makes them feel good.
Mm.
23% said it's because of their religious beliefs, and 16% said they do it because they believe in karma.
Okay.
Here are some of the things that you could do as random acts of kindness.
Okay.
You can leave a waiter a big tip.
Okay.
Leave a little more than 20%.
I like that.
Leave 90%.
No, wow.
Why not?
90%.
90%.
Yesterday was Taco Tuesday, so it would have been not hard to, you know, leave a big tip.
Yeah.
But then you're like, well, then why am I doing Taco Tuesday? Why am I getting dollar tacos if I'm just going to double pay for everything?
I thought you guys actually made the tacos on Taco Tuesday.
No. Well, we used to. That's funny. We used to. And then it got cheaper to, like, just do dollar tacos.
Yeah, you gotta make some tacos. Well, yeah. I guess dollar tacos, that is kind of cheaper. Here's another random act of kindness. Paying for the person behind you when you're getting coffee.
I've never done that, and I always hear those stories about like paying it forward and be like, yeah, man, can I pay for the car behind me?
Yeah, until, you know, somebody from the office is behind you, and they are getting coffee for the entire office.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that'll be $105, sir.
Can you, like, then, like, renege on your
right?
On your act of kindness when you're like, hey, man, you know what? I'd like to do something nice today. Lord, place it on my heart. I'm a Christian. I'm going to do something good. Can I pay for the car behind me? Yeah, they're getting three carats for a meeting today. It's going to be $142.37. You know, the Lord just told me that that was a stupid idea. I guess I shouldn't have spoken so soon. Can I get the car behind that car?
Yeah. How about the other?
How much is that one? $12? Yeah, I can do that one. I'll do that one. Yeah. Don't tell that next guy, though. Yeah. I'll get the car behind that car.
No, you pay for the one that's $143.97.
He shouldn't be spending that much on coffee.
Here's another random act of kindness you can do. You can hug a friend when they don't expect it.
Yeah, I'm a hugger.
You sneak up behind them.
I'm just a hugger.
And then you jump right in front of them and just hug them.
That sounds weird.
It does. Don't do that. Ooh, this is a good one. Taking flowers to a random person at a nursing home?
That is a terrible idea.
What are you talking about?
Like, half the people in nursing homes have terrible memories.
Oh,
and so all they're going to do, like, their brains are all, you know, like, frazzled. And so all of a sudden you're going to show up to this old lady and you're going to be like, hey, I just wanted to give you flowers. And then forever she's going to be like, did I have a son? I don't remember.
That's not going to happen.
Why am I in here?
No.
Who is that man? It's a terrible idea.
You're going to give old people anxiety. You go to a nursing home.
Make sure they got their wits about them.
Go
and then
sit
you go,
down with somebody at the nursing home.
I'm not your child. I'm a random stranger.
That would happen
to you. Sorry if this freaks you out.
Nobody else listening that would happen to, but it would happen to you.
Oh, of course
That would happen to me.
Oh, man.
And our last one here. Giving a gift to a random person who seems like they need it.
I like that.
Is there somebody at work, somebody that you know that, you know, might be going through a rough patch? Go buy them a gift.
I like that.
And, you know,
I'll accept gift cards to places I can buy video games. I will also accept comic books.
I'll accept cash, credit cards.
I love sushi.
Cars.
I love wings.
Gift cards to steakhouses.
I'd need some jeans. Mm-hmm. I got holes in these.
Thank you for holding.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Good morning.
Gentlemen.
Hi.
Morning.
Hi.
Morning.
Hey, random acts of kindness. My boss is a big old dude, and I have to wait till he sits down, but I just walk up behind him, give him a big old hug, and then run away before he kills me.
That's
perfect.
Good.
Perfect.
Good. Bye, gentlemen.
See you, man.
Love you too, man.
Oh, that's good. 338-3700 is the phone number.
Woo!
I'd like to call in.
Yeah.
Apparently, National Random Acts of Kindness Week was made up by Congress.
Huh.
They made it a holiday back in 1994.
Good job, Congress. Completely stripping the random from the acts of kindness.
Do something nice today.
It's always cool when it actually is random. Not so much when, like, the government is forcing you. Just saying.
Oh, well, speaking of the government.
Yep.
We're going to talk about Apple and terrorists and the government. Joey Belleville will be joining us coming up next on The Morning Invasion. Hey, this is Dex from The Morning Invasion. Do you love hearing Steve-O every morning?
It's a morning invasion. Coming straight to your Asians?
Stop it. Stop it. He made it racist.
Or maybe you like that southern boy from Mississippi, Mateo.
It's the morning invasion, adjusted for inflation. I'd like to rap into you, but I'm comfy in my station.
With growing numbers each week, you could use this time to tell our listeners about your business or product. Get in touch with us by sending an email to radio@star88.fm.
7:35, good morning.
High today of 74 degrees.
We'd like to welcome our good friend Joey Belleville to the show.
What's up, y'all?
Brodus!
Yes!
What's up, Joey? What are you doing?
Oh, you know, just getting
feel like somebody whipped me with like an allergy pollen.
I was going to say, bro, juniper. You sound all nasally.
Yeah, dude. It's like allergies, bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's for real, dude.
Yeah.
It's for real when you
juniper,
get older.
Bro. Juniper.
Yeah, I'm not down.
No.
I'm not down.
My
with
son,
it.
He's not doing good either. He has asthma.
Mm.
Oh, man. He can barely breathe. His eyes are all red. He's like, Daddy, just hold me. Okay, he doesn't do that. He's 14.
I was going to say.
He hasn't said that in a long time.
Daddy, hold me.
I just want to hold you, son. Just hug me.
You couldn't pick him up if you tried. I go to CrossFit with you.
He's huge.
I've seen you.
I know.
Caleb is a big boy, man.
He's taller than me
now. He is. He really
Why
is.
Did you have to, like, one-up my ailment?
I totally did.
I'm just congested. It's just allergies. You're like, yeah, I know what you mean, man. My son's in bad shape. His pancreas fell out yesterday. And just like bumping into stuff, you know. And he was like, Dad, if I'd never see you again after this, just tell Mom I love her. And I was like, all right, I'll see you at CrossFit.
Yeah.
I am totally
wave at
that
this
guy.
Bus as it passes by.
I'm that guy.
That's all I live
oh
for.
Oh my gosh! Incredible.
All right, let's Woo! Jump into some headlines, all and right. then we'll jump into this little Apple topic.
Woman Ohio is mad at her husband because he didn't give her a gift on Valentine's Day, so she got drunk, knocked him unconscious with a mini baseball bat, then kept. Hitting him. She was arrested for assault and domestic violence. Ladies, don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I just got a feeling there's something deeper going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not CSI or anything, but
yeah. Yeah.
Something bigger.
My wife's Valentine's gift comes in today. Really excited.
Oh, wow. It's a little late.
Well, it's because we're getting professional installers. Got her like a $400 dishwasher, bro. She needed a dishwasher.
Yeah. Are all those pots and pans his?
Yeah. I mean,
what do you
dishes
think?
Aren't going to clean themselves, am I right?
And she was okay with the dishwasher? Is that
she
what
has
she
been,
wanted?
She has been wanting a dishwasher for so long, and I'm like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure? So finally I was like, I'm going okay. for it. Tax return.
That's good.
No longer. Tax return gone. Oh, man. There's a new type of Hershey's Kiss coming out for Easter. Sounds absolutely disgusting. They're supposed to taste like carrot cake.
Yes!
Ow!
One of my favorite things in the world is carrot cake.
Okay, but like a little Hershey's Kiss that tastes like...
Yeah, why not?
Tastes like and actually having carrot cake are two totally different things. Tastes like
Whatever.
Doesn't equal carrot cake.
It's going to be delicious.
Mm.
Yeah. A cop in Canada pulled a bunch of people over on Sunday, but instead of giving tickets, he gave them all roses and valentines.
Oh, that's really nice.
That was like, gave them roses and valentines.
I just thought, what the heck is he pulling me over for? I wasn't speeding. I'm pretty sure it's a 70 speed limit down that road, I believe, and I'm sure I was only going 50 because the roads weren't really very good. At least $100 or more, because... I don't know. I haven't had a ticket in 25 years. And he said, just make sure you get that headlight fixed as soon as possible. And then he said, by the way, or have a happy Valentine's Day. And then he handed me the flower and a Valentine's Day card.
Oh.
Wow. Who does that? What an awesome thing to do. And it made my day, really. Like, it was just such a nice gesture.
Random to make somebody's day, it's a real good feeling.
Okay, that's enough. That's good.
Oh, little public servant stalker.
That was cool. I know, right?
Yeah.
How would
it's
you
like,
feel?
Hey, your headlight's out, but your heart light's on.
I don't know, man.
I picked you out of everyone.
Right. Yeah. See, that's...
Mainly because of what your plates pulled up. And
that could go, I could see that going bad.
It could go very awry. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Speaking of going awry, Scott Stapp, currently on tour, found out that the tour bus he was riding on was the same bus that Scott Weiland died on.
Fail!
Yeah.
So he's pumped about this?
You know, he immediately called the bus company and had them bring him a new bus.
Oh,
seriously.
Man.
Had him replace it. How weird would that be? You're like, wait, what? Yeah, man, Scott Weiland, you know, only one of the greatest. I feel like Scott Weiland directly influenced Scott Stapp. You know, hell to sell them down, can you take me? See, it's like the same voice. It's like the same dude. I shouldn't have said that. Scott Weiland is way better than that. R.I.P. Scott Weiland.
I kind of think that I'd keep the bus.
No way, bro.
Yeah, I'd keep the bus.
No way. Stapp would be like busting out through the ceiling of it, like floating, like out of it.
Dude.
So let's get the heck out of here.
Oh, man. Creed, dude. Creed. By the way, also in news, Scott Stapp is on tour. So, I should have started with that one. Did I mention that's part of the story? Scott Stapp is on tour. Yeah, wow. So. Anyways. All right. Dude. Are we ready?
Hit it, buddy.
Apple is fighting an order from the FBI.
Whoa.
Wow, that was... Oh, that was terrifying. Apple CEO Tim Cook says his company is fighting a federal magistrate's order to help the FBI hack into an encrypted iPhone belonging to one of the San Bernardino, California shooters. The company said that it could potentially undermine encryption for millions of people. I'm so glad Brodus is here for this conversation because him and I both used to work at Apple together. Mm. So I got my in through Brodus. In fact, I get all of my ins through Brodus.
Word.
I'm going to just go ahead and thank him right now. I would like to thank him for introducing me to my wife. I'd like to thank him for getting me a job here after I got fired here, for getting me a job at Apple.
Wow, Joey.
For reintroducing me and making it cool here.
Is this all true?
For helping with the birth of my three kids.
So that way he could get the job back here.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Because I just believe that solutions really lose their value without getting back to basics.
Yeah.
Which is problems.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you don't have problems, the solutions.
Probs and trubs, bro.
Man, where would Steve-O be without Joey?
Right? I'm just saying. You know. Although, I will say, he also helped me get my first worship guitar. Now I'm a worship leader at Calvary Knob Hill. I'm just saying. Which I sold that purple guitar yesterday. Purple Rain. I've had that thing for like 14 years.
That one Joey gave you?
He didn't give it to me. I bought it when he worked at Grandma's. Yeah. Sold it yesterday. It was sad. I'm like, Purple Rain. It was a purple guitar. It was cool 14 years ago.
Yeah.
Sorry to see it go. Anyways, all right, back to Apple. Here's what's going down. The U.S. Magistrate Judge Sherry Pym, no relation to Hank Pym, ordered Apple to help the FBI break into an iPhone belonging to Saeed Farouk. He was one of the shooters in the December 2nd attack that killed 14 people. Him and his wife died in a gun battle with police, and they rock iPhones. Waiting for that new iPhone commercial to come out. Yeah. Boop, 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 boop. Al-Qaeda. Tim Cook got this magistrate judge, order saying, hey, we need you to break into this phone. We believe there's like matters of national security. Mulder's gone rogue. We need Scully and Jack Bauer to help. They got the X-Files and 24 on the scene trying to help out. Mm. Nobody can get into this iPhone because that four-digit passcode, bro, it's like locked now for like 12 hours. They can't do anything.
So is that what it is? They just can't get into it because
they can't
of the passcode?
They really can't get in the phone.
No,
and,
especially if there's a thumb, if there's a touch ID.
If there's like a touch ID.
Yeah. So you're telling me that there's no way that Apple can break into a phone?
Yeah, no, there's not. Because there used to be, right? So before iOS 7.1, I believe it was, there was a way that, most encryptions have like a decoder code, right? Like a special code to unlock the encryption. So whenever you're surfing on the internet and you connect to a secure site, you get the little lock. Mm. What that means is, this thing verified that it sent you the key and you have the encryption, and only you two, these two connections can understand, decode what each other's saying. So that's hence how you get an SSL connection in layman's terms. So they used to have it to where if there was a phone that came in that got subpoenaed or something, we were instructed, even here locally in Geniuses, you needed like basically an act of God, super crazy court order, and it would have to get sent to Cupertino, and then they would run the decryption key on it and be able to get the stuff off the phone. And then after that, they had given the police and NSA this ability to where as long as you didn't like reset your phone or turn it on and off, because once you turn it on, you have it's totally decrypted and encrypted, and you have to like unlock it again. But they had the police had a little tool that they could just plug in to your phone and pull everything off of it, you know. And so the NSA put that on all tech companies and said, you have to give us access to all technology. And they put the gag order on that said, you can't tell anybody that we have this access because you'd be impeding the investigation. Wow. So Snowden obviously blows that whole thing open.
Yeah.
And then Apple says, well, yeah, we've had to do that, you know. And now that it's wide open, we said, you know what, we're going to do plausible deniability. We understand that there's going to be situations that where this would be helpful. But on the most for the most part, by and large, it's a breach of public trust. So we are not going to even make it to where we can do it. So as of 7.1, Apple, there's no key. The Apple can't, you know. So people are like, you need to build, the government's like, you need to build an encryption with a backdoor on it. Well, that's not an encryption. Like, you don't understand how encryption works. Like, it's either scrambled, you know, forever, or it's not. It's either locked or it's not. And so so I think that even though this sucks because they need to get this info off of that phone, I find it really hard to believe that the whole thing hinges on one dude's phone.
Yeah. So here's
there's a bigger picture here.
Yeah.
And so but I think it's very smart, and I think it's in the interest of the public trust to, you know, their whole argument is if you leave the key under the mat under your front door, well, the bad guy can come and find that key, too.
Yep. This is what Tim Cook said. Yeah. He says it could undermine encryption by using specialized software to create an essential backdoor akin to a master key capable of opening hundreds of millions of locks. In the wrong hands, this software, which does not exist today, would have the potential to unlock any iPhone in someone's physical possession, Cook said. He also said the FBI may use different words to describe the tool, but make no mistake, building a version of iOS that bypasses security in this way would undeniably create a backdoor, and while the government may argue that its use would be limited to this case, there is no way to guarantee such control.
Yeah.
End quote. So he's freaking out, saying, no, Apple is not going to participate. The federal magistrate says, yeah, you are. I'm ordering you to do it. They have 5 days. Tim Cook has 5 days to come back with a rebuttal.
What happens after 5 days?
I don't know, man.
No,
honestly,
well, it's not even an issue of no. Like, I think that where Tim Cook has it legit behind him is that they set it up to where he can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's saying you're asking me to go on the offense and allegedly try to create something that could break through this, but I don't know if it could, and it doesn't seem right to do. So you're actually asking me to like weaponize a hack,
right,
to infiltrate this because there is no key.
Dude.
There is no, he can't.
Or is there? The magistrate's order requires that Apple provide programmable work only for Farouk's phone. Apple said, or they said Apple has 5 days to notify the court if they believe the ruling is unreasonably burdensome. Apple right now is saying they're not going to do it. I guess here's why it's quote-unquote hinging on this. The phone that they found was running the newest version of Apple's iPhone operating system. It's configured to erase data after 10 consecutive unsuccessful unlocking attempts.
Yep.
So the FBI said that the feature appeared to be active on his iPhone as of the last time he performed a backup. So they know they can't just go in there and try and put in a passcode because after 10 attempts, they're going to lose everything. He had two other personally owned cell phones as well, but when he was fighting the police, he crushed them both beyond the FBI's ability to recover information from him. The only reason they had this phone is because the attack took place at his work, and that iPhone was his work iPhone. So he had three iPhones altogether. So this one they found at the office where the attack took place. The other two he had, he took with him, and So,
oh,
yeah.
Forget
so
it,
it's
dude.
Like this weird. It's
there
like this
it is
weird
right
thing.
There. It's not even worth taking with them. He left it at work.
I don't know.
It's
bro.
Not even the good one. It's not even worth smashing.
I don't know. Maybe he just forgot there was a, like.
Yeah, he's like,
in
I'm
going to
leave the one that has everything on it here by the water cooler and the fax machine.
What's also weird is that this work phone is technically the property of the workplace. So the workplace should have. This is why the judge is doing it, I think, because the workplace should have the authorization. Like, hey, this is our property. We want. In
yeah
we don't have the passcode though and he's dead so yeah. It's gonna yeah. be
no,
interesting
it's a physical
man.
Property but that's the whole point no matter who you are
yeah
if it's locked you don't get in
yeah
338-3700 thank you for holding
yep
you guys can if I pick up the phone you guys can just wait patiently on
this
the,
is
on
the beginning
phone.
Of a crazy like enemy of the state type movie you know what I mean because
totally
I don't see normal people wanting this
right
I mean it's not to underplay the,
no,
the tragedy
I hear you.
Or like if you need to but there's other ways to investigate it can't all hinge on a phone
right
if you got a terrorist sect or somebody's going to do something awful like that there's got to be other signs than just a text that put this all together.
Yeah.
So it's like, do some investigating. The phone is off the table. And I think that that's in the better interest of everybody, yeah. You know?
This reminds me of, I think we, because, I don't know if it's social media or because of our sense of entitlement, America especially, we have this uncanny ability to shoot ourselves in the foot with our words because I think of this situation and think back to a few months ago when we were talking on a Think About It Thursday over religious freedoms. And there was a school in, I believe, Tennessee that was teaching the five pillars of Islam. And Christians came out of the woodwork and said, you can't do that. I don't want my kids learning about Islam. So they fought, and they made this proposal, and it went through that they couldn't teach that. But they put it under the guise of teaching any religious stuff. So all of a sudden, somebody has a Bible and does something in the school, and they said, guess what? You can't do that because you, Christian, said that we can't have Islam here. So guess what? We can't have Christianity either. And it removed everything from the school system. And so right now, we got these people saying, hey, we really need to get into this terrorist phone. I think it's a good idea. But is it a good idea when they have access to all of your private information?
Yeah.
You know, we don't think about that,
yeah.
What it's going to do in turn
you
after
go right
this.
Back to the same scenario where they could pull everything from everyone's phone, you know, one nation under surveillance. And,
right.
Yeah.
But I mean, but if it could stop crimes, it's like Minority Report.
Yeah, but did they stop crimes before Snowden blew it over and they were pulling up all our info?
Oh, wait, I thought you meant Minority Report.
Nothing
I'm like,
was
I don't really
stopped.
Remember that movie
No, what
at
I'm
all.
Saying is like they were snooping on everything beforehand and it didn't help nothing.
That yeah. we know
Nobody
of.
Nobody said, oh man, terrorist attack thwarted today due to catching a wicked Snapchat. It's like hashtag
yeah, but, I don't know,
save
bro.
The day.
But don't you think though, we just don't know, we haven't heard that. They,
no,
they did
I think
stop
the,
it.
I think the amount of data is way too huge. So what they really do is they just mine. So here's the problem with this, and this is why you should be a little freaked out, is that if this were to be allowed, nobody's going out and putting the crosshairs on you and saying, oh, let's snoop on this guy. What they do is they do it automatically. They pull in all your data, like the gnarliest Google history of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But this is your phone, your locations, your everything. And they pull in all of it and they just put it in a database. That way, should something shady come out about you, let's say 6 months from now, they're like, psh, let's go to our database we made. They hit search and it pulls in all the data on you. So they want this like searchable thing on everybody. Da, 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 da. And think about how somebody could just look at the bullet points of, oh, he posted this at this time. Oh, he made this call at this time. He made this call at this time. And they could think that, oh, he was doing this. Mm. He planned this, when that's really like not at all what happened,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There could be, but when all you have is the computer to make these dots, people can make that fit into anything
yeah.
incriminating. So that's what they want. They want to be able to, and that's what they had been doing, is all this
but
data
if it
mining.
It stops terrorism, bro.
Oh my gosh, it is terrorism! Stop it! Getting me all wound up. I'm supposed to be funny this morning. Now I'm all ticked off.
Good morning.
All right, good morning, guys. So I think that since it's the company's phone, that I'm sure there's some type of like user licensing agreement that they make you sign. So companies should be able to get the whatever data is stored on the phone. But as far as like mining, I don't know. That's like a whole amendment to constitutional right and the whole.
See, that's
FCC.
The problem they're running into right now is it was the workplace phone, so they should have access to all that.
Right.
But what they didn't know was he was a terrorist. Well,
so
go along with the agreement.
If it's a company's phone, they can put on something called a mobile device management software, which basically polices it. It can reclaim the phone. It can unlock it. Like everything is done under permission. It's like you're basically rocking that phone on like a little children's managed account, right?
I'm sure he
and
just
so
went along
it
with
sounds like
that.
They didn't do that,
right?
Or maybe it was required that they're supposed to provide their bosses with the employees with their bosses with the password.
Yeah,
maybe he didn't do that, so they have the right to all that. But if they don't got it, well, then they don't got it.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's Victoria.
Hi, hey, Victoria.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they should be allowed to get it. You know, the guy of Apple said, you know, I'll help them, but I'm not going to do something that we can't, you know, do, and that because it would open things up that we don't want open.
Right.
Private information. And that's
Pandora's
not cool.
Box, bro. That's what we're doing.
That's not cool.
Yeah, terrorism. We don't want to stop terrorism. You guys are all traitors, all right?
Victoria,
traitors to this great nation.
How you doing this morning?
Yeah, right.
Victoria, how you doing this morning?
Okay.
You doing okay?
Yeah.
Just want to tell you how much I love you.
Oh, Texas. Mm-hmm. He's a big fan.
Yeah, I am a big fan.
Yeah,
I know. I'm not so much of yours yet.
What?
I'm working
That's
on
amazing.
It.
Victoria, come
she
on. Give me
like
a chance.
Dex. It's really
Just give me
sad.
A chance.
Why does she like Dex?
I don't know.
She doesn't like me.
She doesn't like Dex.
I'm kind of sorry. Abrasive. I'm working on it.
I know you are.
She's
I know.
Setting her ways.
And you know what, Victoria? It's okay. I'm patient. You know, I'm patient.
Oh, just heaping those
coals. I'll be waiting.
Just keep those calls.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Anything I can do for you? Play a song, maybe?
I scheduled your son for worship this weekend, but he hasn't responded. Tell Paul that he needs to play bass for me.
Probably because he was away at the peak and he came home sick.
Yeah, okay. Never mind.
All right, Victoria. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, Victoria.
All right, we'll get to more of your phone calls. We're at the end of the hour here. When we come back... Are we going to talk more about this?
We're
going to
talk a little bit more about why you guys hate Captain America and are all for terrorism. Yeah, no, let's do it.
We're also going to talk about Ronda Rousey. She was on Ellen yesterday, and she kind of broke down talking about suicide after she got knocked out by Holly Holm. So we'll play some of that audio, talk about what Holly Holm had to say about the video. It's all coming up.
With Dex.
Sweet Brown was an amazing viral video. It happened a few years ago. She was the one who said, ain't got time for this.
Ain't nobody got time
ain't
for
nobody
that.
Got time for
Steve-O.
I'm a huge fan. I love her. Close attention to all of her work, including that one line she did that one time.
And Teo.
You had one job, Dex.
I did. I blew it.
She's the one that said,
how much time is this? She said, what? She said, yeah. Said, no.
The Morning Invasion with Dex, Steve-O, and Teo.
Teo, if you're listening.
I love you, and I miss you.
Wow. That was real.
Real life.
That was a real caller that called in.
Did you guys ever hear that voicemail?
No.
You never heard this voicemail before?
What is that?
Yeah, let me play the whole thing for you.
Oh, no.
Hey, sorry, Mr. Call. I was just calling you back to let you know that I love you and I miss you. I really want you to call me back. And I'm sorry I missed your phone call and that I know you're done. So when you get this, can you call me back?
Oh, dude, I want that to be my voice.
I love you, and I miss you.
Yeah, poor thing. She's so heartbroken.
Perfect time for us to just mock her. Am I right?
I wasn't mocking her.
Man.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Morning, Victoria. Thanks for listening. Love you. It is 8:07. Good morning.
Today of 74 degrees.
You guys can watch us on the webcams.
It's a little weird. Brodus isn't in it. He's hidden on the side.
Here, if I go like this.
No, look. He's like on the little chair.
Joey Belleville is here.
Oh, there he is.
Hanging out, talking.
Hey, what's up? Okay, there we go.
Hey, you guys.
I'm not used to this cyber stalking.
Star88.fm. You can click the watch now, and you can watch us on the webcams. You can stream
pretty
us
sweet.
There, too.
Really pretty cool. Sweet.
Before we jump back into our little topic we're having with Apple, viral video you guys need to watch when you get a chance. A basketball player slid on the court and got a 3-inch splinter in her stomach.
Oh my gosh, why would anyone want to watch that?
Well, it doesn't... Okay, she's playing a game and then she falls and slides and then you see her automatically just stop on the court.
Oh, no. And a splinter,
a 3-inch splinter just went right into her stomach.
Oh gosh, stop talking. Stop it.
How did it... The official said, well, what do you mean? Are you hurt? And she's like... There's a piece of wood stuck to me. It was 3 to 4 inches long, and some parts of it probably between a quarter and a half inch deep. We thought they were probably going to have to remove an entire board in order, and then take the board to the hospital. I don't know that we'll ever hear something like this ever happening again anywhere. Kind of like a strike of lightning, where you just don't think those things are going to happen. I mean, it was a complete fluke. You just think sometimes strange things happen, and there's no explanation for the phenomena.
Yeah, until it happens to you.
So she got, like, stuck to the floor.
Yeah. She was stuck
to the
floor.
Nailed to the
court. She probably pierced her belly button, didn't tell her parents, took a big dive, and it pulled up a gash out of the thing.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
oh,
you can see her sliding on the court, and then she just lays there. She can't move.
Well, yeah, because she's impaled.
Yeah, and so everybody's running over to try to help, and she's sitting there just,
don't lift me up.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Is this why we're so desensitized and shows just have to get gnarlier and crazier because of YouTube? Because, like, we see real-life things that you don't think would ever happen, and people watch them? I have this friend who shall remain nameless. He's not in this room, but he could be. He's in this room. Who posted a YouTube video of, like, a boil popping. And I wanted to die.
Listen!
I wanted to die.
This was a social experiment. Okay? My dad, we were going through, I was like, I don't understand how, a buddy of mine who used to be a pastor here, he would come in and he'd be like, hey, let's watch some Lansing Boyle YouTube clips, right?
No.
And it's just this proof that, like, everyone kind of wants to see a car wreck, right?
Oh, gosh.
And So my dad calls one day. My dad's this little blonde Puerto Rican dude who married a Mexican woman, so his accent's like all jacked up. and so he calls me. He's working in Albuquerque for a bit. He doesn't have insurance. He's like, Puppy, you gotta help me. My earlobe is like the size of a plum. And I'm like, Dad, what? He's like, I don't have insurance. Can you like pop it or something? And so I was like, Dad, I can't do that. But you're a doctor. No, I'm not a doctor, Dad. I work at Prez with the computers. And he's like, no, but so he's coming. I was like, well, he's like, you got to do something. And I'm like, okay, well, Chrissy, I know, like, has pierced someone's ear before, yeah. I think, and she's coming over to sing. So, okay, so he comes over. Sure enough, dude, it looks like he's got like a big old grape in his earlobe. It is just like, and I'm like, so I get like the sterile gloves.
I shouldn't have
she gets
this
the camera.
So
no, but
sorry.
Listen, I'm not going to go into nasty details.
I'm so sorry.
But I had Chrissy take the camera.
My wife.
And then I went for it.
Oh no.
I gave him a little shot. Yeah. I gave him a little dose of some liquid courage for my pops.
Yeah.
And so just for the pain, a little local anesthetic, and then so. Cleaned the thing up and then went and then, you know, did it. Nothing really happened the first time. Second time, eruption.
Oh, gosh.
And then third time eruption, fourth time eruption. It was so disgusting and amazing.
No.
And my dad toughed it out like a trooper. So then, but here's the crazy part. So, because I was like, Dad, I'll help you, but on the one thing, you got to let me film it. He's like, whatever you want, puppy, you deserve it. You deserve it. And so we filmed it. I put it on YouTube.
Here's what kills me.
And so as an experiment, I'm like, watch, this is the thing that's probably going to like go through the roof. And then before I know it, I get like an email from Google that the bots or whatever have like flagged my video as like a super highly viewed, like, if this thing's about to race the top, do I want to apply for monetization?
Oh, really?
So I was like, heck yeah. So I apply for monetization, and but I didn't get it because turns out there's a rule that you can't have blood.
Oh.
If I would have known that, I would have edited it out, you know? But here you have like my own music videos, my own things,
right.
Like stuff that I tried to promote myself, you know, like 3,000 views.
Right.
This thing is already almost to 1 million views. It was like 600,000 some views already. There's like people that have copied the video and put it on their own like
it's
bogus
ridiculous.
Channels,
oh,
you know?
Wow.
Like all over it. And it was just, and this one, like, the thing that I would never promote in my life, like, as huge. So people just love to see that stuff.
Yeah, they
it
do.
Frustrated me to no end, because that was like around the time that Joey and I were doing U Rock, you know, and we're like trying to get this TV show off the ground and doing things. We're posting all our videos. We worked out with Rashad Evans, light heavyweight champion of the world. I'm like, that one's going to go big. We had, we had so many. We had Cranston on a show.
Yeah.
We had an episode with Dennis Hopper. We're like, yeah, these are going to be huge.
No.
The Lansing Boyle video.
My dad's earlobes
unreal.
Is what sent it through.
That's
the roof.
How I can get YouTube money. Just no blood.
No blood,
no
bro.
Blood.
All right.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. I know what Landon and I are going to do later.
Okay.
Well, Landon wants to be a YouTube star. I know what we're going to be doing.
Oh, man.
It's pretty
amazing.
Gross, dude. That like, is. I wouldn't do that for normals.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Sick.
My mom is always passing those videos around, too. She probably passed that one around on Facebook.
That's hilarious. That would be amazing if that were true. Yeah.
It's a decent video. I mean, there's only barely a little bit of blood, but there's no like language or anything. It's pretty awesome.
Oh,
although
it's awful.
Around 4 minutes, someone says, "Hey, is there a little kid in the background saying, do you guys like my boobs?" And my son, who was like 4 or 6 at the time, is running around in the back. You don't see him on screen, but he had like two little Nerf footballs in his shirt. And he was trying to make his cousins laugh. And he's like,
man.
Hey, guys, you see my boobs? And he had footballs in his shirt. And somehow that made the video. And of course, there's people that like take these videos all apart,
dude.
That is
unreal
to
me.
It's like, hey, what's that kid saying at 4 minutes? Blah, blah, blah. And so I'm like explaining it. It's like, no, there's nothing weird going on. It was just nerve.
There's nothing weird. Just this Boyle video on YouTube.
Keep eye
watching.
On the prize.
Yeah. Gosh.
What do they type in to find it for those curious?
Lansing Boyle and then in parentheses, gross! !!
Okay. Gosh.
All right, there you go, people. All right, Steve-O, recap what we're talking about.
All right, Brodus in studio, and we used to work for Apple. Apple is fighting the federal government right now. CEO Tim Cook says his company is fighting a federal magistrate's order to help the FBI hack into an encrypted iPhone belonging to one of the San Bernardino, California shooters. It's going, you know, people are freaking out on both sides because on one end, the government's going, hey, we got this iPhone. We think there's sensitive national security information on it from this Al-Qaeda terrorist guy that shot people. We just need Apple to help us out. Come on, Apple. And Apple's like, no, one, we can't because we seriously don't even have the capability because we made it purposely this way so that your information is secure. Two, if we backdoor this bad boy and create a master key, who's to stop the federal government, I don't know, or terrorists from getting their hands on it and doing something horrible to millions of phones? So,
dude, even acknowledging, like, even let's say they did.
Okay.
Even acknowledging that it was possible to infiltrate that would just set off a chain reaction of everybody trying to make their own offensive key.
Well, as a super spy, I know I would switch to Droid immediately because
well,
I just depend upon all my top secret stuff.
Here's my thought.
And McAfee's got me locked down.
So, you know, everybody's freaking out about how the government is spying on us and, you know, through your phones and, you know, people are all paranoid. This is kind of nice to know that if I put security on my phone or my iPad that nobody can get in.
Right.
Unless I get in. That's comforting.
Right. Yeah. There's only one keymaster, bro. It's you.
You are the keymaster.
I need to put a security on my, my phone that I'll get someday.
Check. Yeah, you don't have a phone currently.
I get that phone.
Not having a phone, that's good security.
That's really good. Yeah, that's really good security.
iPad Mini is my
literally
phone.
Literally no one knows iMessage. Where you are.
Only people with iPhones can text me.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say.
Pretty sweet. I have to have a Wi-Fi connection.
I saw some dude yelling I was over by Apple the other day and some dude was like hot angry. This old guy yelling, and he straight up had his iPad held up to his head.
Oh my gosh. Phone,
not even realizing that the microphone on the iPads is actually towards the top, right? And so, and he's like holding it like a boom box, dude. And he's like, I told you that you know about serpentine. Always, man. Man, working at the Genius Bar was the worst because at Apple, like here in New Mexico at Apple, it's like, everyone's real. The customers I'm talking.
Yeah.
Working at Apple's awesome.
Yeah, the company. I love the people. No, I still miss the
customers. The
people.
The customers are really great unless they're from Santa Fe. So
or Taos.
They would come down from Santa Fe, hold up their phones and be like, your device isn't working. I drove all the way here from Santa Fe.
Yep.
Oh, did you bring the device with you? Oh, well, your sense of entitlement was filling up the whole car. And you didn't have room for this. Well, it shouldn't have broke. Okay. Well, you drove from Santa Fe. I'm sorry. Or there'd be some guy be like, "Oh, I'm a businessman.
Yep.
I'm a businessman, and you've got a T-shirt on, so obviously I'm better than you.
Right.
So I got things to go. You need to fix this laptop." What's going on? I can't play Farmville. All right, well, obviously the whole computer's broken. So swap this out. I need you to look. It's going to take this many days. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. I need this faster. And so he would like yell at me and say, okay, sir, I'm going to get it checked in, blah, 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 blah. And it's so funny because it always comes down to this. Dude in his suit, smug look, talking down to me, telling me off. I'm just keeping my cool Apple style.
Joey
you know?
Was one of the best when it came to disarming
so
situations.
I was just like, okay, sir, well, in order to check it in, I'm going to go ahead and need your password. And then all of his like anger and just like he forgot about that. Yeah. He's all Fart Buster 23. I was like,
yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh. Forgot who's the cool one now, Mr. Businessman. Oh, sure. Fart Buster 23. Good. Got you in the system. We'll get back with you.
Oh, man. Yep.
Dude, it was just unreal. Like so deflating. Like he was just like, just like tirading, just like, password. He sounded like that girl.
Yeah, dude.
It was awesome, dude.
Working there was definitely awesome. Interesting day by day. Good.
But, you know, on the flip side, though, you know, for us customers, okay, when we go to the Genius Bar.
Uh-huh.
Pretty legit, dude.
It is.
They got to try to track it down fast.
Everybody that I've talked to always gets very frustrated because a lot of people at the Genius Bar always act so much smarter and they talk in this language.
That's because we are.
I'm just
kidding.
No, that's because, there's only two ways that thing can go. There's always those two people. It's polarizing because, because you're either going to react like, oh, thank God, you're the genius. You can help me. Or the other reaction was, oh, so you're the genius.
You're right.
Right?
I hated
and you
that.
Can't win. Like, you can't win. You're like, so, I'm like, it looks really good on a business card.
Yeah.
But, you know. And so I had one lady's like, if you're the genius, help me with this. I'm trying to make a Gmail account, and it says that it's asking me for an email. I said, okay, that's probably like a verification email. But I don't want it to, it's saying my email isn't valid, but I don't want to give it my real email. I'm like, so you're putting in a fake email? And she's like, Well, that's probably why it's saying it's invalid.
Because it's not, because it's not real.
Because it's not real.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, yeah, but see, like, but I need to have email. I'm like, okay, well, you just put in your information, but I don't want them to know. So who are you going to email? Well, I just want to have an email so that I can have it, and that way I can send stuff, but I don't want them to know who I am. Well, it sounds like they might be trying to protect people, really, from people like yourself, from just getting an email. So she goes, well, the government's been watching me. And then here's where the conversation, Dex, where you start to realize I'm talking with a normal person who's just kind of, but then you start to have the discernment, if you will, that this person's cray cray. Yeah. So they're just like, well, I used to work on mainframes. Oh, mainframes. She's like, yeah. The government called me an empath. An empath? Oh, okay. She's like, yeah, a real bend the spoons kind of stuff. I'm like, bend the spoons? She's like, yeah. I said, wait. So you're saying, what you mean, like bend the spoons with your mind?
Like she's the Matrix?
Like, yep. She's like, I can bend spoons with my mind. I said, can you bend one here? She's like, no, it's too noisy in here, but I could bring some in from home that I could show you that I did. And I was like, oh, okay.
That sounds like the coolest job ever, dealing with people like that.
Yeah, and so I said, well, I said, yeah. So then I told her, I said, well, okay, I'd love to see them. I said, I tell you what, you can probably already feel my confidence that, you know, you'll be totally fine and secure with making an email account since, you know, you're an empath. And so you can probably also already feel that that there's really nothing more I can help you with. She's like, yeah, I can feel that too. And I was like, all right, well, it was very nice meeting you. She goes, very nice meeting you. And I was like, you don't know the half of it.
Yeah. Oh,
yep. Joey Belleville is here.
Dude,
we got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey.
Ooh!
Ronda Rousey, she was on Ellen, and she broke down talking about life after the knockout, how she felt. She even had thoughts of suicide. Then we got Holly Holm commenting on the video and what she had to say. So we're going to talk about that when we come back.
Sweet!
I may have some news for you.
Big news.
Stand by.
Republicans running for president keep crisscrossing South Carolina. Marco Rubio's out taking shots at Democrats.
They're smarter than you, and they've got to be able to protect you from yourself.
Calling Ted Cruz a liar.
When anyone points to their actual records, they get very upset and begin screaming, liar, liar, liar.
Hillary Clinton speaking at a forum in New York City at the Schoenberg Center for Research in Black Culture.
We can build ladders of opportunity.
The FDA telling blood banks not to accept donations from people who have traveled to countries where the Zika virus is active.
A U.S. military court convenes at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba to hear pretrial arguments in the case of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
A former supervisor for energy company BP goes on trial in New Orleans.
Pope Francis celebrating Mass, the heart of Mexico's drug trafficking country.
President Obama meeting with Asian leaders in California.
To encourage the entrepreneurship and innovation that are at the heart of modern competitive economies.
Obama. Good morning.
Morning.
Star88.fm. Go there. Yes. You can listen to us live. You can watch us on the webcams. You can click the Morning Invasion page and get the podcast.
I'm going to see these guys in May at Red Rocks.
Are they doing a tour around the country?
I think so.
Ooh. One of my favorite bands. No Daddy Albuquerque, like, though, huh?
No, none.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
How would they ever
We're getting cooler bands, though.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, Metric's coming,
as
dude.
As of late.
Foles is coming.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands.
Yeah, dude. That last record was
nice. So, right, guys?
Right?
I know what we're talking about.
Yes!
Speaking of bands, what, 9 o'clock? Hillsong?
Hillsong, dude!
Hillsong. Yeah. If you're a big fan of Hillsong, we're going to be talking to one of the members of the band coming up at 9 o'clock.
As a worship leader, I am quite stoked. So.
Yeah, those guys are like kind of the top, yeah?
Yeah, dude, for sure. So...
I'm
super,
so like
super,
out of like the
stoked.
Worship music loop. Like
I'm the same way. When I came here, I
enjoy
nothing.
The act of worship, but I don't like bump that in the ride. You know what I'm saying?
Off air, I could tell that this was the case when you said, "Oh, hey, my buddy in Hillsong said if we want to talk to him, we can. And I'm like, what? Like Hillsong? Hillsong? Yeah, man, yeah. Hillsong. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we do want to talk to Hillsong.
I don't, and I hardly know those guys or what he does. He's just, I've just known him for a while, so.
God, dude.
Let's do cool. a few headlines, and then we'll jump right into the Ronda Rousey
All
stuff.
All right, man. News! So here's the deal. George Lucas, he was never going to digitally restore the original Star Wars the way it ran in theaters in 1977. So a fan did it for him. I was introduced to these wonderful gems through a dear friend of mine who shall remain nameless because I'm pretty sure it's still legal to see these films.
It is. They were done with, sanctioned.
Yeah.
They were blessed.
Yeah.
He just can't sell them.
He cannot sell them. A group reportedly spent thousands of dollars and years of effort to restore the original. Because here's the deal, man. I still want my kids to see Return of the Jedi like I did.
Yeah.
Jedi was my jam. Still my favorite. Well.
Really?
This new one?
Rodis, I love Kylo Ren.
Dude, the new one's ridiculous.
Kylo Ren
so good.
Could outshine Darth Vader by the end of this.
I think so, too.
He is incredible!
I agree.
So, I will say, you know...
So, okay, so to nerd out for a second, not that you guys ever do that.
Yeah, never.
And I'm going to try to keep it light because I'm normally like, oh, great, they're talking about comics. So what do you think about like them, J.J. Abrams not being involved in the next one? And it's like a different guy writing
it.
And directing.
Well,
like I think about like just continuity and stuff, you know?
But it's Rian Johnson who did Looper.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like that didn't work for like the whole Harry Potter thing. It's like
Looper
you needed to settle on
awesome.
The right guy.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't know.
I'm with
you. I mean, it just feels like a completely different pizzas.
Right.
When I just want like another slice.
And J.J. Abrams did an amazing job. Yeah. Why do they have
he's
to change
still,
it up?
Isn't he still like executive something
sort of.
Something?
Yeah,
so he's still like hanging out.
But they don't have the same guy writing it, and so.
But they still have Kathleen Kennedy overseeing and Lawrence Kasdan and all those guys. So, like, Lawrence Kasdan was the dude that directed Jedi, right?
And he wrote Empire. And
right.
he wrote this one.
So,
but he's not writing this one. That Brian or Baird or whatever his name is, this new guy, he's writing and directing the whole thing.
Oh, okay. All right.
Some new kid.
I will say this.
And Looper was not that stellar, dude.
I didn't think it was
I
that
liked
great
it better
either.
The first time when it was called Logan's Run.
Okay. Gosh. Nope. I can't even talk to you guys right now. I thought that movie was fantastic.
Yeah,
really?
Whatever.
Okay. Oh, we travel from the future to stop people in the past. Every sci-fi movie's that.
Yeah. I was really in that video. Episode 8, they kicked off principal photography. Did you guys see like the first shot? They showed the first shots of, speaking of nerding out for a second, they showed the opening clip of Episode 8. And some people were really bummed because if you look at the classics, you've got A New Hope. And that was a complete story. It ended and it takes place. Boom! Next movie kicks off months later. They're on Hoth, you know, and like things have progressed in the story. Episode 8, I don't know if I should. It's been a couple months. Am I allowed to talk about this and give some spoilers?
Spoiler alert. Go ahead.
It opens with Luke and Rey.
Like, dude, all the more reason why it should be the same writer.
Dude, no, man. That shot, like it comes in onto the island.
It's picking up right where it left off.
It looked awesome. And I like the idea of getting these perspectives because... I enjoyed the Harry Potters that way, that there were different directions. Because, dude, let's be honest. Christopher Columbus totally made those movies, the first couple, and they were super kid-like. Could you imagine the rest of the series being done like the originals, where it was we're 7 years old, and these are more friendly.
Yeah.
Dude, as the story progressed,
still felt like
it got darker.
Progress style. This feels like we got something really good. Why you want to break it? It's not broken.
I don't know.
No need to fix it.
Yeah. Well, director Rian Johnson, he is writing and directing it. I know that J.J. Abrams is returning to the franchise. He's executive producing along with Jason McGatlin and Tom Kronowski. So those guys will still be there going, hey, check it out. Like, I know that that there's going to be a satisfying conclusion and that all those guys have collaborated.
Hope so.
It's going to be good, bro.
Okay.
Hope so, man. It's going to be good. Jack up my because here's the deal. When it's just one guy, you look at like, okay.
Yeah, you don't want a Lucas thing to happen.
Spider-Man, all right? You got Sam Raimi, who had great ideas, but by Spider-Man 3, he's like, okay, guys, this one, we're going to get Venom and Sandman and 19 bad guys. And it's like, no, this isn't fresh and new. So I think a fresh set of eyes helping progress it along.
Look at George Lucas.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
He did 1, 2, and 3, and he had help with 4, 5, and 6. He didn't
look like it.
He didn't direct 5 or 6.
Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking of...
Yeah, you're thinking of 1, 2, and 3, which sucked.
Right.
The good ones were the ones where he was hands-off, and he allowed other people's visions be included in his story.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, no doubt.
Gosh, you guys,
my goodness.
You know what?
Everyone just lost their girlfriends. Listening. Like, all the dudes that are still listening right now, like, their girls are looking at him like super disgusted. This is funny because... I can't believe you listened to this. Sorry,
right,
fellas.
Yeah, let's completely move on to something totally off topic. Ben Affleck says he got some advice on playing Batman from George Clooney.
I talked to a couple of people. I talked to Clooney. He had some advice, which is not repeatable. And I talked to Christian, who just told me to make sure I got a zipper in the suit, which was valuable, practical advice, as it turned out.
Dude, can I just say... Can I just say Ben Affleck is going to be the best?
Oh, he's going to be so good.
Yeah, he's
good.
I mean, not Michael Keaton great yet, but he's...
You never
know. I still think Keaton's better than
Keaton
Bale.
Is my favorite,
yeah,
too.
He's the king. Yeah. He's the
Christian
king.
Bale would have been awesome if they didn't stick with that whole voice thing.
Yeah, that's what killed it for me.
You know,
by the third one, I just couldn't do it. I don't even like the third one.
What kind of breathing problem does Batman have when he can only spit out one word on each exhale?
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It's one syllable.
Bat voice coupled with Bane voice made for a terrible, terrible movie. So I just, yep. Yeah.
Bane voice obviously
was
overdubbed. He did not have any even, like, he wasn't even out of breath.
Right.
They're all fighting at the end. Batman shows up. Impossible. No matter. Like in a crowd of people.
Don't even get me started. Okay, a 23-year-old inmate in Indiana swallowed 2 pins last week, got transferred to a hospital, then escaped through a window in his room on Monday. As of last night, police were still looking for him. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
He swallowed
a couple pins.
Yeah. It was like, I got a really great plan, guys.
He left his signature, though, every time he sat down.
Oh,
this
man.
Serial sitter has a signature.
Yeah, dude. Check this out. You know, gas right now, it's pretty low. It's crazy low, actually.
Yeah?
I've been enjoying the prices. Not nearly as low as they were in Toledo, Ohio recently. A computer glitch caused their prices to shoot super low. For about 3 hours, people got a full tank of gas for 25 cents.
Ow!
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's less than 2 cents a gallon.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh. It would have felt like the apocalypse. If that was near my house, I would have driven my car, my wife's car. I would have had like all these tankers and have just been filling everything up. Woo, baby, it's Christmas! It's Christmas! It would have been amazing. I love it.
I love how cheap gas is right now. It's so awesome. I drive an SUV, so it's super nice for me.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, we were nervous when we got that new minivan because we're like, how much is gas going to be on this thing?
Yeah, it costs like $20-25 to fill up the entire tank.
Yeah, that's
it. Crazy.
It's incredible. Praise be.
Yeah.
Praise be. Oh, man. A spokesman for the Bureau of ATF, or alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives. They really need to put an E in there. Said a reported explosive device found under a rental car near the Albuquerque Sunport on Sunday.
What?
Albuquerque Sunport on Sunday.
Did you guys see a picture of this thing?
No.
It was so crazy, man. They were literally, they called in everybody, cleared out the airport. I mean, it looked like a bomb underneath this car, this rental car.
Dude, Albuquerque police on Monday said the device was a pipe bomb with an electronic timer and a battery ignition system. Super high tech stuff. However, ATF spokesman Thomas Mangan told KOB that the device was not explosive and posed no threat to the public. But is it one of those things where afterwards they're like, no, man, it was nothing. continue, Albuquerque. Just fly the friendly skies. Come on back to the Sunport. No pipe bombs here.
Total hoax.
Mechanic at Avis Car Rental found the device under the car around 8 a.m. Sunday, prompted a lockdown as police worked to neutralize the device. The authorities have not released any information about the person who rented the car at the time. Investigation ongoing. But
question.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was he doing underneath the car? How did he find the pipe?
It's a mechanic, bro.
The
Maybe he was doing an oil
rented
change.
The car did not put the bomb in it.
Not, how do you know?
Because he's driving it.
Yeah.
It's his car. He's got his name all over it.
I don't know, man.
I'm going to rent this car because I want to pay for something to blow up.
That's very true, too.
Right?
Yeah. I know. Except you're thinking logically. Like, we could never be terrorists because we think logically about it. Well, yeah. I don't want to rent the car.
There's a little bit of logic
involved
waiver to make
itself
a bomb.
Is just, yeah.
Because
yeah.
You got to like, well, I got to connect the red one to the blue one.
Oh, man.
And then I got to put the pipes on it, and then I got to put the bombs on it. But obviously he didn't do it right. What did he got, like a fun with science kit?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He was watching some Bill Nye, you know.
All right, let's spin into this Ronda Rousey.
Oh, what happened? Man.
Oh, yeah.
She was on Ellen yesterday. And I thought it was a great interview. And she opened up about, her life after she got knocked out by Holly Holm. Here she is talking about how she still feels like she's undefeated in her mind.
I did a lot of thinking. I'm like, why did this happen? Why does this have to happen like this? Because I do believe, like, all the best things come from the worst things. Every worst thing that happened in my life, it resulted in the absolute worst things. Resulted in the absolute best things. And I'm trying to think, like, what is the reason of all this? And I'm thinking, like, what my actual purpose is. And maybe just winning all the time isn't what's best for everybody. And I felt like maybe my role is, you know, everyone has their moment of picking themselves off the floor. And I'd gone through several of mine, but no one had actually seen me go through it. And maybe I just had to be that example of picking myself off the floor for everyone. And maybe that's what I'm meant for. And I really do believe I'm still undefeated because being defeated is a choice. Everybody has losses in their life, but I choose to always be undefeated.
Well, she's got a pretty good attitude about it, you know? Yeah. She was also talking to Ellen about when she got punched, one of the first punches that she got in the first round, her teeth got knocked loose. And she'd never had that happen to her before.
Right.
You know, so that happened right at the beginning of the round.
I just didn't see that coming. I was stepping into a championship match for a title where the person across the ring wanted to fight me to the death. Right. And all of a sudden I got punched. I didn't understand. Really?
Well, here,
she was busy talking all that smack.
Yeah.
Here in the interview, she breaks down.
She does.
And talks about how she really felt after she lost that fight.
Did you worry for a minute, like, could this be permanent? Did I really hurt myself and maybe I won't do this again?
No, to be honest, like, what I was thinking, like, I was like in the medical room and I was like down in the corner. I was sitting in the corner and I was like, what am I anymore if I'm not this? And I was literally sitting there and like thinking about killing myself. And then exact second, I'm like, I'm nothing. I'm like, what do I do anymore? And no one gives a shit about me anymore without this. And to be honest, I looked up and I saw my man, Travis, was standing there and I was looking up at him and I was just like, I need to have his babies. I need to stay alive. That was like, really, that was
you
it.
You gotta stay alive.
And I hadn't told anybody that. I think I only told him that. But that was like what I was thinking. Like,
when Steve and I were watching the video yesterday, we both were kind of in shock because I've never seen Ronda break down like that.
No.
It was very weird to see somebody of that caliber be so vulnerable.
What it reminded me of, though, honestly, was humanity. Because I think we have these caricatures in our brain of other people. We don't know her personally. Mm. I've never seen her break down because I'm not her personal friend. The only things I see are the way that she's portrayed through pay-per-view events and through the media and other outlets online. I don't know her. And so I think a lot of times we as people can forget that whether it's a celebrity, a musician, an actor, an athlete, whatever it is, they're still human beings. They still fail. They still fall short. And They're going to have good days. They're going to have bad days. That's why I always get frustrated when somebody says, oh, I met this actor at the airport. It was 2 a.m. and the jerk wouldn't give me an autograph. You know, and you're like, how do you know what kind of day that person's having? You know, you don't know that. They're still human beings. And I was dumbfounded, though, because after this came out, there were people posting this video yesterday and still saying hateful things about Ronda Rousey because, you know, Holly Holm's our local girl and everyone wants to support Holly, and I agree. But I don't think Holly would support and stupidity.
No, there's no way she would.
She wouldn't.
And there's I think it would have been different if Rousey still had all that, you know, like a bravado and arrogance.
Yeah.
You know, because she was really like pouring it on strong beforehand, just super prideful and I'm going to take you down, blah, blah, blah. So it felt good to like see her get put in her place a little bit, you know. But now she's obviously humbled and all those things. And it's like, so I think that kind of like you need to be hands off.
Yeah.
And just.
Well, here's what Holly Holm had to say about the...
I'm sure classy. I'm hoping.
I know,
right? Yeah, she commented on the video.
I don't want to say I'm glad that she felt that way, and I don't want to say, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, it's something I think that you have to dig through on your own. And in the long run, she'll be stronger mentally from it.
The things that got you a loss are just the things you need to work on. It doesn't mean that it's over. It doesn't mean that it's the end.
Holm and Tate will battle as part of UFC 196 March 5th at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah, and that's so true. Every fighter is going to say that a loss is going to say that is what helped me become a better fighter.
Yeah.
We can all relate to that.
And I think the real takeaway from that whole thing when it happened was just what a good winner Holly Holm was.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Total class act the whole time. Not one ounce of bad sportsmanship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
didn't say anything bad about Ronda.
No, not at all. So it made it even cooler, you know? So it looks like Ronda's on the way to take a little dose of that, and if that's what she gleans from that,
yeah,
well, right on,
dude.
I am talking about sports. What is this?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going, good?
Good.
Hey, so I just want to comment the Ronda Rousey thing. I really do feel for Ronda. She was on top of the world, but you know, it takes, you know, like she said, getting knocked down, getting back up, short strength.
Yeah.
But I just don't think she will ever match up to Holly. She, at the beginning of that interview, she was kind of making excuses as to why she actually lost. She was trying to say that this was her third time, and she was tired. And in my head, I'm like thinking, well, you only fought for 40 seconds in two fights. How tired can you be?
Yeah, let me play that clip real quick. I got to hear where she's talking to Ellen about she is throwing out a few excuses.
It's always crazy going into every fight, you know. It's always so much chaos and so many things going on, and things weren't perfect. They never are. And I think the one thing that was different was it was my third title fight in 9 months, and I don't think anyone's ever even attempted that before. And
that's a lot.
Yeah, but I don't make any excuses or anything like that. I mean, I've fought in worse conditions, but I think the one thing that was different, I just kind of felt tired. But other than that, I mean, I'd been more tired, I guess. I got clipped in the first exchange. So I was knocked out on my feet, like the first time I got hit. And so in that first hit, I cut open my whole mouth and I knocked my teeth loose. And, you know, guys fight for five-minute rounds. They're teeing off each other's faces the whole time and nothing like that happens. And it was just destiny. It had to go down that way. And it was weird. I had, like, no perception of, like, I felt like almost like I couldn't see. Like, I could see, but I couldn't tell, like, how far my hand was from my face or how far she was from me. Like, that kind of turned off. I was, like, swinging blindly. I knew she was out there, but, like, it was, I really don't remember most of it.
That's what's crazy about it. She said that she didn't really feel normal until the next day when she woke up. She finally kind of felt like she could think and know who she was and where she was at.
I think we can all take something away from it because we are all going to have failures, and to watch how somebody picks himself up. I couldn't imagine having to be in the spotlight going through my failures with literally everybody wanting to interview about how are you feeling right now in this moment, you know, because when we have crappy days, maybe it's a coworker, a neighbor, a spouse, a friend, somebody goes, bro, how you feeling? And how often do we just go, I'm good. you know, because we don't want to have to deal with it. We don't have a camera in our face going, no, really, let's show you the clip of you getting knocked out, you know. Like, and so Brock Lesnar also chimed in on this situation.
Who's that?
He was a former heavyweight champ for UFC. He is also part of the WWE now. He started as a WWE wrestler, went to the UFC, won the heavyweight title.
Now he's overweight.
Lost the heavyweight title. Yeah. Well, he went through a lot, actually, too. Some health issues, and he had to relinquish his belt.
Almost died.
Yeah, almost died.
Oh, jeez.
Lots of stuff. He said, quote, one thing that I learned that she should have learned a long time ago was that you have to learn how to lose before you can actually win. You got to be able to get back on the horse. This life is very precious and very short. One fight isn't going to make or break her career. And I think that's so true for all of us. Maybe she just, because she'd never tasted that, things came so easy for her. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a surprise. You know, Jack and Luke are both baseball players. And Luke has the frame, the build, if you will, as a natural athlete. So things come quite easy for him, which sometimes mean he doesn't have to work as hard. And little Jack Jeter, smallest kid on his team, works his butt off to get where he is.
Right.
And so, like, this last weekend, he had a tournament in Phoenix, and he got to start a game as a pitcher. And I know that kid just cherishes every moment he plays because he works so hard at it. Not to say that Luke doesn't, but it comes so much easier that when
it
there's
more to
it
anybody mean, yeah, who works harder for it.
And absolutely. And so when there are failures, I also notice the way that my two boys handle those failures, because Jack's used to having to work really hard and not expecting everything. When you're a natural athlete and things don't go your way, it's much harder because you're so used to winning. And I think Ronda is just so used to always winning that she didn't know how to handle this.
She's had everybody telling her that she's the best in the world. Nobody will ever beat you.
Yeah.
I mean, you believe it after a while, you know?
Dude, is it 9 o'clock?
It's 9 o'clock.
Oh, and we got Hillsong coming up.
Hillsong!
We're going to be talking to someone from Hillsong. Hillsong United? Is that the name
Hillsong
of
Hillsong Young and Free. Hillsong and Free Worship. Hillsong.
All right, hang out with us. We'll be back. Hillsong United, up in arms, Star 88, and the Morning Invasion. And we're really excited because joining us on the phone right now from Hillsong United is Nigel.
Is this
Nigel.
The bit where I start talking? Or just wait a minute.
Oh, Nigel. Hey, Nigel!
Hey!
This is my buddy Nigel from Hillsong.
Hey, really Nigel!
Really sorry about a payphone. That's all we got at the moment. It's a bit of a rough connection.
Oh, it's okay, man. Thank you for
taking
the time this morning. We're really,
this
really
morning,
excited.
It's late afternoon over here in London.
Oh, well, all right. London.
I just woke up. I just woke up myself, so it's kind of like morning show over here, right?
Right.
Yeah, totally.
Dude. So,
you guys doing all right?
Yeah,
we're doing good.
Man.
So what's
this in the studio with us?
I'm guesting here. It's me, Joey.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, my name's Dex. Nice to know you, Nigel.
And I'm Steve-O.
Yeah. So, Joey, this is like what you put down, Joey plus two. It's these two.
Yeah, these
pretty
are the
much.
Guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I'm just going to make it Joey plus zero.
Oh, dude.
So, so, Nigel, what's up with Hillsong United?
Yeah, I want to talk about this.
Yeah, what are you guys up to?
That's a very, very good question, because, like, we're wondering ourselves what's up with Hillsong. Now, is you talking about Hillsong, or is you talking about Hillsong? Because there's always been a bit of a mix-up, right?
Well,
we're talking about...
I told you guys. I've never hung out with Nigel, but when we talked, he said he was in Hillsong. And,
and
I didn't even know. Like, we became friends before that. But dude, Hillsong has been like blowing up all over the place. Like, tell us about your last record and
Hillsong,
stuff.
Well, Hillsong, there's a bit of history really to go like review. See, we was like all playing bar mitzvahs and what, and we was like wicked blowing up in the London underground scene, right? And we like got this unique sound. Like, people said it's really unique.
Like
and so we took it as a positive.
Like the underground worship scene?
Like underground, as in like down underground? Because I thought Hillsong was from Australia.
That's down under, mate.
Right.
It's underground.
Yeah.
Okay. So Hillsong, being a worship station, we play a lot of worship music here. And
Wicked.
I think one of the biggest artists, obviously, is Hillsong. So what are you guys cooking? What worship stuff are you guys cooking up now?
Well, see, we've been like, we started really, the confusion begun when we was like Hillsong and we was playing like small gigs and stuff, like bar mitzvah. Like the biggest one we played was for four, right? And so we was blowing it up, it's getting wicked. And then we're doing sort of like dubstep and sort of like drum and bass, because really all we had was one drum and one bass, right? Uh-huh. So we're like maximizing our assets, right?
Right.
So we're all doing real well, and then we start getting like an email, which is not normal, and we got an email, oi, we'd like you to come play at our church, and it's a worship bit, right? And we're all like, we're Hillsong. And then we get more and more of these requests for, like, Hillsong. And then people go requesting songs, right? Like, on your station, what's number one request?
Hillsong.
Well, yeah, we just like, played. What was the name of the song we just
Up
played?
In Arms.
Up in Arms.
Relentless, yeah. Huge. Oceans,
Love
of course,
is war.
Touch the sky.
Yeah, right. It's same with us. They say the same thing. And they said Relentless. And we was like, yeah, we're Relentless on stage. And was relentless with mixing and what, and so bit of confusion, and so anyways, we start doing all these Hillsong covers, and people's like really liking it, and we start getting paid. I mean, like we got paid like £20, and the audience is like growing and growing, and was like, yeah, this is interesting, and then was like, who do you think we are? Because we're like Hillsong, I-L-L.
Wait. So you're not part of Hillsong?
No. We wasn't. But
Joey, you said this dude
said
was
he
with
was in Hillsong.
What is this, Joey?
Hey.
No, listen, I got a confession.
Hey, what's the name of your Nigel, what's the name of your band?
Hillsong, mate.
And what's, what's the name of the worship band?
Hillsong.
No, it's not the same. What? So wait, okay, Nigel.
Oh my God.
You're not part of Hillsong?
No.
Oh.
He's Hillsong. There's a mix up. All right, I got a confession, right? So the fame is a bit addicting, right?
Uh-huh.
So we show up as Hillsong. Yeah. They think they're getting Hillsong.
Uh-huh.
We're relentless on stage. We go up in arms about it. They're really upset.
Oh my gosh.
They sending us like set lists. We're like, what's this song? And so we had to, I'd done some research and Googling and what. I got the lyrics and we started singing it and it was getting better and better, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, recently, I've been, you know, I'm like lead vocalist, right? Front man, former top model, all out. And I've done Save Myself because I was singing the lyrics from the other Hillsong, which is not even the other Hillsong, because they like Hillsong and we're like Hillsong. So I don't save myself.
So you saved yourself by singing the words?
Going really good. And now the worship, all the lyrics, it's like making way more sense, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it's a perfect example. Uh-huh. Of like how the Lord can use a mix up,
right?
To make some wicked dubstep drum and bass worship.
Okay.
So then we're getting like emails from this guy named Brian Houston, right?
Right.
And he's like, we've never even played in Texas. What's Brian Houston doing? Giving us an email, an invite, or what? So I come to find out he's like the chief of Hillsong. And so it's all right. Yeah, we'll meet up. It's all good. And then I come up with a brilliant idea. Why doesn't Hillsong, which is us, and Hillsong, which is them, why don't we do some a collaboration sort of, you know, mix-up project, and we're going to call it Hillsong United.
Brilliant, yeah. Nigel.
And they're all looking at me like, we've already done that.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Amazing.
I really am curious to hear.
What an amazing journey.
I'm curious to hear what you sound like.
Yeah, so what is...
Yeah, well...
Like, is it folk?
Right,
is it acoustic?
We've already got Joey plus two. Well, including, you know, like the Lord is really plus three.
Right.
But that's just a given, right? So yeah. If you... if you really want to hear some relentless dubstep drum and bass sort of worship, then just swing by the bar mitzvah as we're doing later on tonight.
Yeah.
Well, like, what is it? What is it? Is it like acoustic? Is it rock?
No, it just depends. Like, if we can get the equipment working, it's all, you know, bombastic. But if we can't figure it out, is that power cut or what? It's acoustic.
We're talking with Nigel from Illsong.
Illsong.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's, you know, we were talking about Hillsong, and he when him and I spoke, it was always Hillsong.
Right.
No.
Because
no.
What's the name of the other band?
Me.
He's got a Nigel? You still there?
You still hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the name of the other band?
Yeah. So I got management with me now in the limo because things are getting all technical and what, and we just want to make sure that everyone's on the same page, right?
Right.
Right. Yeah, so look, I've always been up front because I'm a front man, I'm a top model, all that. And it's always been with Illsong and Dave's Illsong.
Right.
So I don't really, really understand what the mix-up is. Really.
Oh, man.
Nigel, dude, we are so... This whole time, we were preparing for Hillsong.
I'm just amazed that you did covers of Hillsong tracks, and then you wound up witnessing to yourself.
Through Hillsong.
Yeah. Saved yourself.
And I thought, okay, right, now since we're all, like, family on the air and what, I'll be honest with you. I was thinking, you know, like, what about pastoring? You know, because I don't save myself. It worked.
Right.
What if I share the same message with someone else other than myself outside of my head, a real person, and they get saved?
Yeah.
That's relentless, mate.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
I love everything about this. This is incredible. Nigel, way to take a terrible situation.
Thank you, Nigel.
You know, we all sometimes there's just misunderstandings in life, and you made something out of it.
So in our world, right, London Underground and what, all raw and all that. The Lord's really, really like fantastic DJ in respect to taking a mix up, doing a bit of a remix, and then, you know, coming out with hit singles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sure that the Lord can do some like hit singles in your life. You just gotta let him do the remixing. You know what I mean?
I love it, Nigel. That's
dude.
Good.
Thanks, buddy.
Nigel,
thank you, so
you
much.
Are welcome anytime on our show.
You guys is all right, mate. And really, the timing's perfect because it is morning. It's, for me, I think it's morning until you have lunch, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Thank you, Nigel.
Thanks, man.
All the best. All the best. We'll see you at K-Love Awards and all that. And
not there. That's for sure.
All right. We'll
amazing.
See you later, Nigel.
See ya. You and me, like united. You know what I mean?
Yeah, No, I know. I know, man.
Relentless.
Nigel from Illsong, everyone.
Thank you, Nigel.
Gosh. Oh, wow.
So we thought we were interviewing somebody from Hillsong United.
Yeah.
That's what Joey was saying.
That's what he told
me. I know
me.
Somebody from Hillsong.
It's a Hillsong.
Yeah, and so we get this guy on the phone.
Illsong.
He's from Illsong.
But I know he meant Illsong.
Okay. Beautiful, beautiful misunderstanding.
I can just hear Nigel totally throwing down.
Gosh.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, good
absolutely.
Stuff, guys. Good
absolutely
stuff.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you, Nigel, for the call.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's the Morning Invasion. Joey Belleville is here.
What's up?
And it's 9:17.
High today of 74 degrees.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Is this Star 88?
It really is.
Okay. I was just wondering, was that like satire, that whole thing that just happened, or was that real?
I don't know the meaning of the word satire.
We thought it was a guy from Hillsong, but it was a guy from Illsong.
Was it just for show?
It was, I mean, well, we
no,
it was
I think
Hillsong.
He called it out for what it was. Yeah.
Well,
we thought it was Hillsong,
it was
but
epic.
It obviously wasn't.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm listening watching from Jackson, Tennessee, by the way. You guys are awesome.
Thank you so much.
There's like no good Christian music in my area, so keep it up.
That is amazing. Appreciate Thank you for the you. Call.
It is amazing. I'm actually so inspired by Elle's radio station that I want to start my own good Christian music station here.
There you go. Nice. Dude, we got friends out there in Tennessee. In fact, our co-host, who's currently on tour with House of Heroes, came from Nashville.
And if you end up, creating a radio station out there, we'll be on your morning show.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Y'all have an awesome day.
See you. Thank you.
Hello. Thank you. Goodbye now. 338-3700 is the phone number to call in. That was hilarious. Nigel from Ilsong United.
Shoot,
you know, and what a great testimony too, how God can use a total mix up.
Yeah, or how you could be singing a cover tune and witness to yourself.
That's pretty much what I got from it.
To in the prayer of salvation.
That's what I got from it.
Oh my gosh! All right, I want to talk about this guy. This guy who was arrested by U.S. Marshals. This is crazy. This is nuts. Because do you guys own any student loans?
No.
No?
Thankfully, no. Yeah. You think I went to college? Yeah. I mean, come on.
I'm
in radio because I can't get a real job.
Yeah, I never went to college either, so I'm with you guys. But there's a guy in Texas. He was arrested by U.S. Marshals last week because he still owed $1,500 of an unpaid student loan from 1987.
Whoa.
What?
He has to pay it back with extra penalties by March. And apparently the marshals are going to serve 1,500 other warrants for unpaid student loans this year.
Oh, man.
They're coming after you.
Not me.
If you're listening right now, they're coming after you.
You see, kids, reason number 17, why not to go to college. Wait, nope, that's not what you're
that's
supposed to
learning.
Learn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man. That's nuts. So here's the... the representative Gene Green talking about the U.S. Marshals being used for private debt collecting.
There's bound to be a better way to collect on a student loan debt that's so old. Now, again, the interest is accrued on it. Still, using 7 U.S. Marshals, no certified mail, nobody coming out and saying this is the debt you owe. Our federal resources, our U.S. Marshals and the federal court system are being used, I think, by the private sector. A few years ago, Congress allowed the private sector to contract for student loan collections. And so you have these private companies who are doing this.
It's the real deal. They're coming after you.
Great.
You got to pay those things off.
Yeah.
I have like 3 or 4 different people after me right now. I mean, they are trying to track me down.
Good thing you don't have a cell phone.
I know. Yeah. That's what I keep saying. You know, they can't find me. You know?
See, you always just got to look at the positive, Dexter. You were promised something. You didn't get it.
I'm
but
off the
because
grid.
Of that, you promised to pay some things and didn't. It's like the circle of life.
I'm off the grid now.
You are totally off the grid. You have gone rogue. You are Jack Bauer.
Oh, man. If this guy doesn't end up paying back the money that he owes, he'll get arrested again.
Oh, good.
He'll go to jail.
For not paying student loans.
Yeah.
That would suck because then you're in jail and everybody's
and
like,
and then he
what
has to get like
for?
A loan for the bail bond.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
They're all, this one's going to be $1,600. Yeah.
Do you think he'd just stare at the judge when they're like, all right, your bond has been set at blah, 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 blah. And be like, really, bro? Uncool. I'm here because I don't have any money.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
You got to pay back those debts. You know, I've learned my lesson over the years. I remember one time I got something in the mail and, it was they were saying that if you don't pay this, we're going to take you to court. Yeah. And I just kind of was like, whatever. And then about 7-8 months later, got something else in the mail saying I needed to show up at court. And I was like, I'm not showing up at court. I'm going to throw this away. Yeah. They took the money out of my bank account.
What?
They seized the money.
Dude, cricket is relentless.
But it wasn't cricket.
That green couch was no
Dang,
joke.
They'll
dude.
Seize your money.
Is cricket wow. still around?
They will take your money. They will take it right out of your bank
that was
account.
Amazing. You know what else not to do when you're trying to like scam or get something for free? Imitate a police officer. I hear that's
Ooh.
Terrible. I hear that's what not to do. We just got a call from Jackson, Tennessee. An insurance agent in Tennessee actually this week was at a Golden Corral trying to get a free Coca-Cola. This is the length he went to get a free Coca-Cola. He dressed up like a police officer and went in there trying to get a free beverage because officers get free drinks at Golden Corral, apparently, in Tennessee. A real cop was in front of him in line and totally arrested him because he was lying and pretending to be a cop. For wow. $1 soda.
That's amazing.
It's crazy what people
do. He couldn't
will go
say
through.
That he was just like cosplaying or something.
At the Golden Corral.
That's right.
Nah, bro. Sorry. Yeah. Just got off a cop con.
That's cop.
We were at cop con.
We were at copy con.
You know. Sorry. Dressed up like my favorite officer.
Oh, man.
Yep. Love that show, Cops, yep. Man. You guys could do good
Which
work.
Officer are you dressed as? McGillicuddy? McGillicuddy?
Officer McGillicuddy. Yeah, he's my favorite. I've got all the trading cards. I collect Copics.
Yeah, I'm some Copics.
Got every issue, man.
That's right.
Super huge.
Dude, Copicon Albuquerque is blowing up, yeah. Bro. It's blowing up.
Oh, man. Good. Incredible. Just trying to teach you guys life lessons, kids. Life lessons. Learn.
You know what? We don't even have to go to break. Well, because it's the 9 o'clock hour. We have nothing in the hour. I just noticed.
Wait, I mean, we could just drop the L-bomb, bro, you know?
We don't have to go to break. Shock Therapy Live is not happening
yeah,
today.
That's right. Our boy, Nate Heitzig, Pastor Nate, he is heading off to Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those guys are going to be gone for a few weeks.
So we usually open up the phones in this hour, so we'll keep on doing that. You can call in. Anything you want to talk about, you have questions about something, you want to talk about the morning show, something we talked about this morning, maybe you're dealing with something in your life.
Yeah.
Phone lines are open, 338-3700. Maybe you're listening from somewhere else in the country.
Yeah.
We love hearing from you guys and telling us where you're listening from.
Maybe you want to start an argument with us.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah. Maybe,
you know,
yeah.
Maybe
you
want to
talk
like
about
doing.
Your,
yeah,
your
you
experience at Copicon.
Yeah.
Dude, shout out to the boys in blue who have to deal with dummies like on the daily.
Yeah,
you know
no
what
doubt.
I mean? I'm reading the story. A woman in Canada crashed into the back of a cop car earlier this month, and they knew the cause was texting and driving because they checked her phone, and a message was on her phone that said, quote, "Sorry, I was trying to text you. Just ran into a cop car."
Oh my gosh.
She was like still texting after the accident.
Oh no.
"Sorry, bro. I was in the middle of texting you. Totally just rammed into a cop."
Oh jeez.
Yeah. That's what they deal with on the huge.
I'm never resisting arrest. That's all I can say.
No, that's
Did I
good.
Tell you I got
that's
tased? Good. I got tased like
oh,
2 months
gosh.
Ago on purpose.
Okay, what? Here's the deal. Here's the deal. This guy keeps trying to convince me that this is something I want to do in my life.
Everyone should get tased once.
Why?
I got tased.
Yeah, see, he got tased. Yeah. He's already gotten tased.
I got like, tased. Did you get tased by the little wand one or
no,
with the
prongs.
One that fires
they shoot,
the darts?
They shoot.
Yeah. Oh,
you got tased
got.
Too?
Yeah, I got
for
tased.
You're running from the cops like I was?
No. This was on purpose. This was voluntary.
No, that's not how it happened.
I got tased.
But it's not like I need to build up a resistance or something.
No,
bro,
but
I just
it's
need
just
to build
to, no.
up my tase resistance.
Tase me, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that like people, like if you know, the officers who get issued those weapons have to feel it.
Right.
Yeah. You have to get tased in order to use one. So I'm just, you know, if I'm like, yeah, you should tase him. I think that if I'm ever going
to
yell that, like I need to
you
know
need to
what that feels
it.
Like. And so I'm going to think twice
have
about
that desire.
Yelling. You should try it once. I'm glad I did. But it was literally like I was shaking. Shaking hands with the devil.
Yes.
For like
it
for
was.
Like a second and a half. And I was just like, it was
that's
it was plugged onto me. I didn't get shot with it, but it was plugged onto me like right up above like my right hip and then up by my shoulder and neck. And I was just like, okay, wait. Just wait, but hold on a sec, I'm not ready yet. Don't
face it.
And I literally like
gosh.
I was falling down
and
everything went slow-mo and I was just like, this is it. This
what
is,
song did you hear?
It's
did
it.
You hear a song? Like usually
all,
in movies?
Where were we? What? No, but I was going down slow-mo. And I was like, this is it. This is over. I've done it. This is
I want to know what song I'm going to hear when my life goes slow-mo. You know what I mean? Because in every movie, that's what happens. It's like the moment of reckoning or understanding or you're like shot and you're like falling slowly and it's always like
and
some
every,
song.
Everyone asks the same thing. They're like, so did you, you know, mess? Did you make a mess in your pants?
Yeah.
And it's like, No, because that would imply that your body would be relaxed for something like that to happen. Nothing's relaxed!
Everything's clenched.
Yeah,
when I got tased, it was the same thing. They didn't shoot me, but they taped one to my shoulder and then my ankle.
Oh,
so it went through my whole body.
Nope.
And the guy asked me, the first thing he asked is, do you want to ride the bull, son?
Okay.
And,
see, none of this sounds fun.
I did not want to ride the bull.
Or exciting. But or even comical.
He did hit me, and it was like dancing with the devil in the pale moonlight.
No.
Yes, it was.
Absolutely not. You got so I do stupid things regularly. Yeah. Like, I'm that guy. I'm usually like the stunt kid who's like, oh, we'll get Steve-O to do it. And I'll usually do just about anything for comedy. I will not get tased.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
brother.
I just will not.
Because you
guys have not, it's not been hilarious or comical.
It's over.
You're
so
talking
quick.
About shaking hands with the devil.
It's
and
over
like,
so quick.
Imogen Heap playing in the background as you're falling, thinking you're dying.
Whatever, dude. What's
it doesn't
out.
Sound fun at
Don't
all.
Yeah, no problem.
Me, oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Yeah, nope. None of that. None of that.
Good morning.
Fear's a sin.
Hey, how's it going, friends? How we doing?
Hey,
doing
Rob.
Well.
So I just wanted to call in and comment about this privacy on the phone stuff.
Yeah, you're only like an hour and a half late. Please please continue.
Well, I tried calling earlier. You guys don't answer my phone. I think you guys have caller ID.
Oh,
no.
Yeah,
we definitely
no way.
We don't have caller ID.
No, we just have access to
We're
your phone.
We're a non-commercial Christian station. Do you think we can afford such luxuries as caller ID?
We knew who you were calling before you called it because we have the backdoor encryption.
Yeah. We can't even phone line three.
So I just don't, you know, I just think as a society in general, we're just becoming so PC and so concerned with people's feelings that, you know, privacy until something happens to a family member. And then it's, you know, then it's no holds barred. You know,
right.
Now, do I think that Big Brother should be watching all the time? I mean, to some degree, but I mean, we all have our rights, you know, to privacy. But if the government needs to get in our phones, you know, for national security, well, then by all means, they need to get in our phones. I mean, if you have nothing to hide, then it really wouldn't matter. You know, I just think we're just becoming too soft as a society, as a nation, as a culture, and especially as the church. You know, we become so tolerant to a lot of issues that you know, it's kind of disheartening. We do need some more fanatics out there, some more bold Christians that are just going to stand up for what's right. You know, and I mean, if it's right that they get in our phones for national public security, well, then by all means, do it. You know,
so
I hear what you're
right,
saying.
I think
yeah.
it's like relative. To...
Yeah, I think that's if that was like truly the case, then yeah, that would make perfect sense. But it's the who's deciding that this part's right, that this is for national security? Because when you look at how many. How this policy had been used and abused by the NSA without any direction or probable cause. It was just give us everybody in the Bay Area, give us access to everything so that they can put it in a data mine. That's not really like an investigation into someone specific. And it's more about, you know, it's not about like, oh, the incriminating side of privacy where you say, well, do you got something to hide? Do you not? It's more about if you can't have something be yours, then you don't have freedom. You know what I mean? So I have the choice to have things that are virtuous in my life. I have the choice to have things that are bad. I'm going to get busted if the bad things trump over the good. But the point is that living in America, I have freedoms for things to be mine. And once you go to another country where the government's all up in your business and you don't get any of those freedoms, you really right. aren't making decisions. Your vote doesn't count. Nothing, everything can start to just kind of fall apart once you say that, well, your opinion or what you want or what you deem is sacred is as long as the government approves. You know, and then they can start proactively searching. So that's where the argument becomes as well. You know what? We think that the person who has this kind of app or this kind of thing or this, they're going to be more likely to commit a crime. So let's preemptively go on and arrest them or let's go. And so you could have like these like digital things stack up against you, which really maybe aren't even the truth. And you'd have no way to argue it. And so just to have... To have somebody looking in without context, I think is a bad thing. And yes, it would be good to be able to say, well, we know for sure this guy committed the crime. Let's get the info we need. And that's where a subpoena and things like that are legitimate, right? But this is just saying that we don't Apple's just saying that we don't have the technology. He's not saying that, they're not saying that you don't have the right to want it. They're just saying that if we were to build in a backdoor, everyone could get a backdoor and the bad guys could use it too. So it's best to just not have one and everyone deals with the same obstacle. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. But I mean, aren't we kind of going that way anyway?
I agree.
Don't really matter.
I guess
our
I just would
really
like to
matter because we're not standing up for what's right. So in a roundabout way, we're not doing what's right. So we need someone. Now, granted, the people that oversee it, I'm not saying they're right, but we need someone to oversee what is right. Now, does that mean we start voting in more Christians and getting more upright people? Sure, of course. But we need those people to step out in faith and, excuse me, touch on those hot topic situations, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, Rob, thanks so much for picking up that garbage, too. I appreciate it so much, man. Are you okay? You dying?
Rob?
Wow.
Why would you say that he was picking up garbage?
Oh,
he's a garbage man. That's he picks up his garbage.
Okay.
He actually literally did.
Okay.
There was no weird code. Wow. It was like, what does that mean?
I was like, I didn't think the conversation, the topic was that bad.
That you're picking up the trash dog.
What? 338-3700. We're giving you this hour. You can call in, talk about something on the morning show. Maybe you're dealing with something in your life.
We got a great email that I'm going to share coming up here in just a few.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
Hey, God bless. I wanted to talk about the iPhone thing.
The hot topic.
It is.
Yeah. I don't think that we can trust the government with secure information. I mean, look at Hillary. I mean, Billy can secure information all the time. Apple needs to be able to keep their customers' information secure. Now, I wouldn't have a problem with Apple personnel sitting there with the FBI agent and having the Apple person unlock the phone for the FBI, but I don't want the government to get that information and just have that get out into the public.
Mm. All right, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So for those who have no idea what we're talking about, because it was like an hour and a half ago, and for some reason everybody's chiming in now, because now seems like a good time. The FBI has tasked Apple with creating a backdoor for iPhones. As of now, there's no way to get into a locked iPhone. Well, fast forward to the San Bernardino shooting. One of the terrorists had 3 iPhones, 2 of which he completely smashed up and destroyed, one of which was still in his office desk that he didn't get to. And so the FBI has this and says, we need to get in here. We can't because he's got this thing on there to where if I do the passcode incorrectly 10 times, it's going to wipe everything. We'll lose it all. So a judge ordered, a federal magistrate ordered Apple to create a backdoor, if you will, to hack this iPhone specifically. And Apple's saying, no, we're not going to do this. Could you imagine if this technology got into the wrong hands? Literally millions upon millions of iPhones would be at risk for a breach of security, if you will. Yeah. And
it boils down to, like, are you willing to break a trust or break a law to find out how someone else broke a law? Like you,
heck yeah, bro. Really, like, Jack Bauer.
I was just going
to
say,
two
Jack
negatives
Bauer did.
To make a wrong is really the morality.
You go rogue,
dog.
Here.
You got to do it to save lives, man. Yeah,
if there's anything I've learned over all the years of watching CSI Miami, it's two things. One, you always have your sunglasses on so that at the appropriate moment you can slowly slip them off. Two, it's that, yes, sometimes you have to go rogue and do bad things in order to do good things. That's called a joke. If you'd like to send hate mail in, it's studio@star88.fm. I'm not condoning violence or any vigilanteism, okay? Although I am excited for season 2 of Daredevil because it will have the Punisher in it, who's the ultimate vigilante. Cool, man. Right on.
Good
Glad
morning.
We got that out there.
Good morning. So I was cruising Netflix and I came across this documentary that Nick Cage was going to play Superman.
Yep. That was a real thing.
It was going to have Brainiac and a Doomsday?
Yeah.
Bad choice.
Yeah, it looked pretty terrible.
Well, it would have been better than the Batman crap. Was it Batman with Robin?
Yeah.
That was horrible.
George Clooney or Val Kilmer? Which
See,
one?
You guys are talking the same director, though. It was Joel Schumacher who did that.
I thought it was Burton that was going to do
and
that.
Burton, yeah, Burton was going to go backwards and do the Superman, but gosh.
That would have been better than
But thanks, man. I was just getting tired of talking about the iPhone. Way to switch gears on Nick Cage.
338-3700. You guys call in.
6 degrees of Nick Cage right there.
Yeah, apparently.
Hey, man, whatever you guys want to talk about this hour, it's your hour.
He was going to steal the Declaration of Independence. He was going to do something bad in order to save America.
That's right.
And that's what we're talking about with the iPhone, which spawned a thought in him. Oh, wait, I watched that documentary of Nick Cage as Superman.
So, yeah, and
totally
also,
see that train of thought.
If the Illuminati already have access to all our phones anyway, just ask those guys.
Yeah, they prefer to be called Illuminice, right? they're trying to remove the bad image, the negative stereotype.
Illuminice.
So Illuminati isn't just Illuminice, all right? No more naughty in there.
They meet in Amsterdam. Yeah.
After Beyonce's public display at the Super Bowl, they're just trying to recoop their image. Mm. So, yeah,
what
no
did
more
she
of
do?
That. She performed.
You didn't see the performance?
She Illuminati'd?
Yeah, she was very Illuminati, apparently.
Black Panther style.
Yeah, and everybody's like, that's not cool. Mm. Here's what is ridiculous to me. When people take something and justify one negative thing by pointing out something else negative. Beyonce goes and she does this performance and some people are saying...
Don't tell me because she put a fist in the air.
Well, that, and she was wearing this like black leather and also the AR-15 she was carrying. No, she didn't have weapons. people were saying, oh, it was like paying homage to the Black Panthers. This is terrible, blah, 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 blah. And then this other dude an actual writer on Yahoo. I guess I should have been a writer. I could totally get a job at Yahoo, apparently. Wrote this huge article about how lame it is that we're pointing fingers at Beyonce by showcasing, like, Tom Petty with a Confederate flag and Lynyrd Skynyrd back in the day. And, like, all these artists who played the Super Bowl with, like, Confederate roots all these years ago in the 80s and 90s. It's like, that doesn't make what she did acceptable. It just means all of them were dumb. Like, all of it is stupid. And it seems like nowadays, all you have to do to justify your sin, your action, your whatever, is to point to somebody else's stupidity and go, yeah, but Beyonce, am I right? Yeah, that's why. Cool. Woo, nailed it. Yeah. Tired of that one, man.
I don't know, man. I don't know what kind of political statement you can make with... You
a
know,
Super Bowl
a large
show?
Posterior and mocha-colored Spanx.
Well, you got to watch the performance.
I guess
there
I
were
do.
People that were really upset.
You know, she was really calling out the cops.
She was
you know,
in her song. That's true too.
When she had that's that true, like black bathing suit thing on,
and and a police escort to the Super Bowl.
That's what,
they shut down the freeway.
Well, if you have indecent exposure, that does call out the cops.
No, that was Janet. Totally different situation.
Oh,
that changed history for all of us.
No, I know about that one. I'm just saying, like, if you're going to be running around in, like, your undies, like, how much...
And your name isn't Wonder Woman.
Yeah, like, how, you know...
Yeah. No, I got you. I feel you, dog.
We got an email?
Yeah, we got an email from our boy Edward, who is hitting us up from JoJo's old stomping grounds, Mexico. But really, El Paso, Texas. He does some work down there, I think. Las Cruces. We're going to be down there March 4th, by the way. I can't wait to get down there. In fact, he says, can't wait to have you guys hanging out in Las Cruces March 4th. Yes, we're going to be down there broadcasting the entire show that day, hanging out for Rock and Worship Roadshow. But here's what he said, speaking of people hanging out. The Pope! He's in Juarez, Mexico today. He's giving a mass there. That's also going to be broadcast over the Jumbotron in the Sun Bowl Stadium. He's there, and he's seen plenty of t-shirts with images of the Pope on it. He said, it looks to me as if they're glorifying the Pope instead of glorifying God. I guess I'm just wanting your opinions on the Pope and how people seem to look to him rather than Jesus.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I like that. Because me not being Catholic, when I look at the Catholic Church, I see a lot of that. I see a lot of ritualistic things. I see them putting the Pope on this, you know, platform, and it's almost like he's right there with God. Mm. You know, there's the Pope and then there's God. If you want to get to God, you go through the Pope, right? Or you go through a priest.
This morning when I was burning my Santa de los Niños candles.
Oh, my gosh.
Praying to Sister Father of the... No.
Both of you guys. Right? I grew up Catholic.
Oh, okay,
right.
Good.
So did my family. So
okay.
Yes.
Yeah, but not you. Obviously.
Not me. No, obviously not. No, my mom defected to Baptism.
Yeah.
To Baptistism.
So no, it's more about like he is, well, to some it's considered like that authority structure is considered deity almost, you right. know, even though we know that the Pope is a man. And but to have him on a T-shirt, I think is that doesn't bum me out as much as I think of it like almost like a patriotism. Do you see what I'm saying? Like wouldn't you want to have like a
somebody to look up to?
There's plenty of other awful things to put on your T-shirt. Is what
no, I agree. Mm. I immediately there's I think there's two things to this question.
I mean, if there's a dude that can rally like
right.
it's like having like a world's head pastor.
Yeah,
you know, and if there's a dude that can rally the troops like that, I don't claim to try to say, oh yeah, Catholics are.
I will I mean, say this.
I'm curious how the Day of the Dead thing's going to go down there during the same time. But
Pope in Mexico lost his cool today, apparently.
What?
Actually, for the first time. I was actually,
'cause that dude's cool.
He's really cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, Edward sent us this email and he's asking a couple questions. He said, wanting your opinion on the Pope. And I think that's one separate question from and how people seem to look to him rather than Jesus. For the Pope, what I've seen from this dude has been pretty outstanding. It seems like he's very frugal with like cash and the idea of, I mean, he's the Pope, and so he doesn't take anything for granted, and walking here instead of taking this jet or doing these, you know, he's done all these crazy things. And then you see how he's out there hanging with homeless kids and yeah. feeding the poor and just out there doing things. And I see that and I think, man, that guy is living as Jesus. Like, he is shining the spotlight on Christ. I don't think he's out there peddling Pope T-shirts saying,
right.
buy my shirt. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right, right.
Because I started thinking about my closet and my T-shirts. I have a ton of T-shirts. One's like a Green Lantern T-shirt. And one's like, I've got a Ronald Reagan T-shirt. I've got, you know, all these T-shirts with images on it. It definitely does not mean I worship Ronald Reagan, although I miss you, bro. however, I think the question comes down to not the Pope necessarily, because all we can quote unquote judge the Pope on are his actions, and all I've seen him do are these incredible things. I've seen him feeding the poor and actually pouring out and saying, this is how you live as Jesus lived. This is what we're called to do, and really rallying, as you said, the peoples. I think what it comes down to is the individual heart of said person. If somebody yeah. is out there worshiping the Pope, that's not necessarily on the Pope.
Sure.
It's on the person who right. has replaced Christ with this human figure and saying, no, but it's the Pope, man, and he's basically my second Jesus. We don't need that. We already have all the intercessor we need in Jesus Christ. We don't right. we don't need somebody else advocating on behalf for
us. And that's just the fundamental, I think, being Protestant, you have just a fundamental difference of us kind of not knowing how the other side lives. And,
right.
And so Catholicism and Protestant, that's always been the difference, was that, you know, Protestant side felt like we had immediate access without the need for an intercessor to the Godhead, where in Catholicism and in other things, we needed an intercessor. We needed like somebody to kind of mediate for this. And yeah, it does. And Steve, I think you're right. It does boil down to ultimately like, well, is someone you trust giving you your mediating this? And are you getting to the right person?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So right. Are you looking to Jesus? You know, are you looking to God? And so I know plenty of Catholic bros who actually like surprisingly super dial in
yeah.
with me theologically. Granted, we'll have some things that we'll definitely be like, all right, well, we'll just agree to kind of disagree on that. But I know where they're going
yeah.
when it's all over, you know? Yeah. And me growing up Catholic, I was just a really lousy Catholic. Like, I just didn't go and I didn't understand and I was just going through motions. So I needed something else to kind of show me the connection that I really needed to have to the word and stuff like that.
I can
that.
Totally see you kind of look Catholic.
Well, especially in New Mexico, totally. Let's be honest,
yeah,
a lot of people are born into Catholicism. It's not it's not a relationship. It's just something
yeah,
that your parents
it's true.
Did.
I was born into it. Absolutely.
Twice a year for Easter, Christmas
right.
Eve maybe.
You
know,
and
you
don't even know. Like
church,
people will and... drive into, they'll drive past Calvary on the holiday morning. They'll be like, oh, this one's open. Let's go. This one's open.
That's how my family yeah. grew up. Yeah. Very Catholic family. And yeah. We actually had a dude from Phoenix chime in speaking on the idea of Catholicism. He himself listening as a Catholic. This was pertaining to Lent, because last week we were talking about Lent and Roman Catholicism and what's going on right now. And you know, he wanted to try and dispel a lot of the confusion, because he said being Roman Catholic, he wanted to shed some light on topics, because we speak about it, but none of us are currently Catholic. As you said, you were raised mm-hmm. Catholic, but we are not. He was speaking to the idea of praying to the saints versus just praying outright to Jesus. He says that Jesus is our only moderator to intercede. Is a different matter that hey, look, we have friends that we ask prayer for and this and that, so why not talk to the saints and ask them for guidance? I think asking a dead saint for guidance is way different than asking a friend for prayer, though, because yeah. your friend on this earth can still lift you up in prayer.
Yeah.
And so this is why I think the idea of, you know, the Pope and Edward, to get to Edward's question, the idea of like people looking to him, depending on where they have placed the Pope on that pedestal, it's really the heart of that person. Is it idolatrous? Is it something that they are some human that they are looking to? Because you look in Scripture,
it's going to be different from person to person.
It absolutely will be, because you look at people like Timothy in Scripture, who obviously looked greatly to Paul as a father figure, as an instructor, as a mentor, and was like, "Dude, teach, you know, show me the ways." And Paul instructed Timothy, and grew these young people up in the faith. And so there's nothing wrong with having like that person that you look up to and that you're inspired by and say, I want to live faith like this person lives out their faith. But yeah. It's quite a different thing if you're like worshiping that person.
And all throughout the Bible, weren't the disciples constantly deflecting the attention and the glory off of themselves?
Right, absolutely.
Because people naturally wanted to say, oh, it's you're the one who's doing this.
Yeah.
And so I don't see the Pope saying, yep, you're welcome, it was me. You know, so I don't know. You know, I think that it's definitely interesting for sure.
Man.
Hey, good morning.
Yo, what's up, guys?
What up?
I'm glad you guys are talking about this, because you know what? Christianity can be the same way, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
People can worship the pastor.
Yep.
You know, and it's just so funny, and I love the way Mr. Belleville put it. It's the individual and the heart, you know. Don't hate on the Pope because he's in a position, you know, to where he can go out and affect people and the people worship him. It's not his fault, like you guys said, you know.
Yeah.
No, and Christianity could be the same way, like Billy Graham or Olsteen. People go just for him, not because necessarily God is preaching a message, but they believe that he's got, you know, that he's almost like a God, because they believe that he will only heal them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're it's right. Weird. It's in every religion, man. It's in every religion. But I'm glad you guys are talking about this, because my mom's Catholic and she's not going to hell, man.
There you go. She's on the line. She's listening on the other side. She's
on.
That is so sweet.
That totally look at Catholics as wrong, you know?
No, I hear you. That's totally incorrect.
And that is a mentality that is so stupid, because nobody can tell somebody else that you're going to hell, or that you're not living right, man. Your relationship with God is so personal. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most personal thing that we have as individuals.
Yeah. Amen to that, man.
Thanks, Pool Boy.
Dude, Pool Boy, I love you, man.
I love you guys. I'm glad you guys are talking about it, man.
Okay, so ready? So I'm going to, like, I know we don't have a lot of time yet, but
yeah.
I'm going to share something that just kind of was a mind blow, and it's not, people might not be happy about this. But I just came to the realization of, like, you know, we got all this political tension going on in the world. We have Islam. We have, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I really realized, you know, I think in the back of my mind, I was subconsciously equating, like, people that that, and this has nothing to do with, like, whose faith is right or wrong right now.
This
is just talking about different kinds of people. So let's say that we have people that are Islamic in America.
Yeah.
And for me to say, in my back of my mind, I think I was thinking, oh, well, they're just kind of being cool because they're here. But really, the whole thing is based on this extreme hate thing of America. Mm. And then I realized, well, that is the dumbest thing to think, because if I think about if I was to just get lumped in as Christian, then I get like the Branch Davidian crazies.
Right.
I get like there's all
Westboro
kind of,
crazy.
I'm not a clinic. I'm not an abortion clinic bomber.
Right.
You know? And so there has been all kinds of like different sects of Christianity that were straight up skewed.
Yeah.
Straight up like did not have it right. And so for me to think that there's this one
other religion that does not have its own variations of the theology and where some people are level-headed and some people are not is really crazy to just write them all off. Just the same reason I wouldn't want someone to write me off.
Yeah.
Right.
On, you know, I'm a Christian and I'm slay the wicked, kill everybody, yeah. you right. know, thing, you know, and
slay
so
the wicked.
And that's not to say that, you know, that not to put the crimes down, but it's when you think about somebody, it's definitely a mistake to think that you have that person figured out
right.
based yeah. on this one title or brand.
Yeah.
You know, to say, oh, well, this guy's Hindu or this guy's Islam and Islamic. And that for you, if you were to think that you got that all figured, that would be wrong.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree with you.
Because we hope that for us, you're right, as you're saying, I would hope people would want to get to know me as a human being so that I in turn could share my personal, very personal faith right. with someone.
Right.
Not necessarily just, you know, oh, well, I Wikipedia'd yeah. your faith, so well, I know everything about
you. It's just
you.
Like how Christians mess up yeah. Christianity, you know, like yeah. how much time are you talking to somebody about your faith and you realize there's some jerk who like ruined it for everybody. It's like, well,
yep.
you're like, well, we don't all think like that, bro.
You know yeah. what? You know what I compare it to? Yeah. Multi-level marketing.
Yeah.
You ever got into one of those before? Because
no, yeah. I was almost into Body by V.
Yeah. I was just about saying when you were weekly yeah. emailing me to get into your stupid juice program.
Doing that almost in a way was such a good thing for me because it really gave me another outlook on my walk with God.
Yeah.
It really did. Yeah. And what you just said totally reminded me of a multi-level marketing company because you get all these people out there that don't learn about the company.
Right.
They don't know the products.
Right.
They don't read their Bible.
Right.
You know, they don't know much about it, but they go and go, "Hey bro, try this.
Right.
You're gonna lose
yeah.
weight. It's the best thing on the market. Just do it. You want to make money? Oh, just sign right here and make some money."
Yeah.
And then people are expecting, where's the money coming? I just spent like $1,000 on this kit and I don't, where's my money coming in? What? But people don't explain it. They don't sit down and walk you through how to be the best business person because it's a business. It's the same thing with our walk.
Yeah.
I'm going to start making Body by JC t-shirts.
Seriously. We could make a fortune.
We could.
I'm
going to
sell them at all the Bibles pluses around the nation.
You know, you're so right, Joey, because people need to we need to sit down and really learn the Bible. We need to understand you know what we're talking about when we're going to go out there.
And you need to understand what other people are talking about. Mm-hmm. If you're just like in your own bubble, you're never going to be effective at talking to someone else who's of a different faith than yourself if you don't try to bother to understand where they're coming from or what their foundation is.
Yep.
And to just say, well, I'm lumping all you guys together.
Well, even within Christianity, maybe you have a friend in your life that's fallen, that's like done something that you just find absolutely heinous. It's not like that person woke up this morning and decided they wanted to destroy their lives.
Right, right.
You know, something led to that sin in their life. Something led to that. And to take the time to just go, hey, bro, I want to walk through this with you because I love you, because Christ first loved me. So there's grace here. There's forgiveness here. There's restoration here. That would speak volumes to a dying and hurting world. So,
dude, there's help for the heinous.
Yeah.
Help for the heinous. That's...
Let's see if we can squeeze in one more call. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey,
what's up?
Yeah, just coming to you from the perspective of a Catholic
who's
tuned in because of Dex, basically. But I'm just, you know, when it comes to the Pope to us, I believe, or to me, I should say, what he represents is he's the leader of our church.
Yeah.
He's the one who kind of sets the precedence for thinking, for the ideals. He's just, you know, he's like Skip would be to you guys.
Okay.
You know, to your church. I mean, in a much grander scale, of course, because he's, you know, the leader of all of Catholicism. But I think if you worship anybody, that's a problem. You know, I think everybody who understands our religion worships God, but he is the
CEO
leader of our church. He's the CEO, right.
Yeah.
He's the guy who sets the rules, the precedents. And you know there's not a worshiping sense for the Pope. And I think it's a little bit of chaos. You know, when he comes to town or whatever, and people are really excited to see him.
It's the same way when the president shows.
President
shows up in town.
He's like Obama.
The streets go crazy. Yeah.
Yep.
Or you know he's running the show basically.
Yeah.
And just like when there's a president that comes to town, it's the same thing. It's not worship. It's just he's a man who represents what you believe in, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just think it's pretty awesome that the dude is like, it's hard to argue that the guy's not cool. Like for anybody, it's not. Yeah. It's not like you have to be Catholic and you say, "Oh, well, you're Catholic. Of course, you like the Pope." Like for all these folks that aren't Catholic to be like, "Dude, the Pope's pretty cool."
He yelled at somebody today in Mexico.
Like, that dude is like repping legit, you know. And so it's pretty awesome.
And tolerance, I think, like you know, for me, it's your ideals as Christians aren't far from mine.
Yeah,
you know, and I mean, we all, you know, kind of virtue the same thing. You know, which is God, love, you know, doing the right thing.
And it all hinges on who Jesus Christ is, period, the end. Like, that's it. Yeah. Who is Jesus to you? That's, you know, it's from person to person, and I agree with you.
Hey, brother, so, thanks for tuning in, man.
Yeah, man.
Thank you very much. We're running out of time, brother.
I know.
We'll see you. Well, yeah, guys, have a good day.
All right, you too.
Right. Thanks, man.
We'll see you, man.
Dude, that's legit.
It was.
I like when cool people call, and they're like, hey, I'm different than you. And we're going to the same place.
Right. Yeah.
I love it.
We had a dude chime in recently who's Muslim, who loves the show.
Nice.
Listens in because he likes the way that we're able to discuss things.
Love it.
Imagine that, being able to have an open conversation and capturing the ears of rad people around you who don't share the same ideals.
What?
I'd like to.
It's weird.
Seems like I'm just crazy that we're trying not to be bigots. That was so trendy for a while. Let's all be the cool Christians. Let's try, everybody. You guys are doing it, kids. You're doing it.
Yeah.
Joey Belleville,
thank you for coming in, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
If you missed the show, hit up iTunes, hit up our podcast, The Morning Invasion. It's also up at star88.fm.
Hey, this is Teo from The Morning Invasion. Listen, I know you're hearing this podcast and you are, number one, blown away, and number two, asking yourself, how can I get in on that Morning Invasion action? Well, all you have to do is shoot us an email, radio@star88.fm. We're going to hook it up. You're going to become the Morning Invasion podcast sponsor. Your name's going to be in lights. It's going to be all over the internet, and you will finally find a way to connect with those crazy millennials. Radio@star88.fm.